WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
It is time.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Based on your pupil dilation, skin temperature, and motor functions, I calculate an 83% probability that you will not pull that trigger.
Omega.
Desire is irrelevant. I am a machine.
Mace.
I'm not programmed to follow your orders.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
You are terminated.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'll be back.
Getting you.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is WrestleMania. No longer going by numbers, just WrestleMania. You know, that little show that comes across once a year. And, oh boy, we have had a show tonight. Ooh. So we're going to have a show tonight. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I got goosebumps on my fucking goosebumps! Jesus fucking Christ!
And that was only in the first 90 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much. Mind you, I have been on nothing but caffeine for the past 6 hours, so I'm probably going to go and run around the earth a couple of times to cool down. Jesus!
Man. Oh, it's gonna be fun. And of course, as always, leading the way, unfortunately, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Nothing unfortunate about it. Wow, and holy cow. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our annual post-WrestleMania show. That's what it is. Right after WrestleMania, and goddamn, I want to rewatch that entire show now.
I am. It's called The Network. It's replaying right now.
For only $9.99.
And I will be rewatching
it. Don't forget Booker T's book.
Yeah, I'll be rewatching it when I can pay full attention to it, and after we're done this little review show, but I might have to leave that to tomorrow after work, because I actually have to go into work tomorrow. What the hell?
Your vacation is finally over?
Yeah, well, not only that, but I normally get Monday, Tuesday off, but I've been called into action. I mean, when the going gets tough and they need their number one, they call me because they can't find their number one.
But I'm bummed.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to make it sound like I was being extremely egotistical. But before we get started, I'm going to need one of these guys.
Well, you have one of those, I want to explain. Okay, Cane Kittens, the idea of going back to work means you actually take time off from work. I know you're not familiar with that concept, but one day you will be, okay?
All right, we got to ask the dude, did you leave work for WrestleMania?
No, he didn't. He was still working, and he missed the last two matches.
Yeah, the dumbass decided to leave to go home right when it got to the point where he shouldn't have left to go home.
Sir, you have an issue.
Cane Kittens, once upon a time, people who worked the way you did got offered 40 acres and a mule.
Oh, my God.
At this point in time, we should say, if you'd like to call in the show at some point after we get started, the number is 267-297-1397.
Unless you're out of North America, then get in touch with Sir Rockin' on Skype.
Just not yet.
Yeah, wait until we're at least halfway through the show.
Oh, yeah. We'll open up the lines. We'll take your calls. We'll get your opinions on WrestleMania. And guys, gals, everybody, we want your opinion on what we saw tonight. Now, after last year, we definitely got a way better WrestleMania, in my opinion. Last year left a bad taste in everybody's mouth. It wasn't a bad show. It was just some things happened here and there. And
there was one bad moment last year, and it's kind of soured the entire night.
And there was one bad moment this year, but it didn't sour fuck all.
Even the bad moment wasn't that bad.
Well, last year was the Daniel Bryan show, so it's hard to have anything bad go on there. This year didn't have to be, though.
So, but yeah, it's one hell of a night, and we're going to spend some time now talking about it. I'd like to welcome to Wild Talk Radio and WTR Sunday Night for the first time a couple of brand new listeners. We got somebody from New Zealand, which is kind of close to Australia. He calls himself Kiwi Flames Bro, a guy that I know. We follow each other on the Twitter machine, and we cheer for the same sports team. So we've got that in common. And now it turns out we got wrestling in common, too, so that's a good thing. Hopefully, Kiwi Flames Bro, Flames fan in New Zealand, that's his Twitter handle. I hope that you decide to show up on a regular basis. A couple of names also that I don't recognize, Mark316 and Mixel1269. If this is your first time, welcome to you as well. And we are always happy to have you guys tune in, whether you're able to catch the show live or in the archives, or when you're on the go with the TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Just search Wild Talk Radio.
Hey,
Network.
Michael Cole, shut the fuck up.
All right, hold on. I got something to say. Rooting for the Flames is just as bad as rooting for the Cowboys, so...
Yeah, well, hey, you know, the Calgary Flames are making playoffs this year when they're supposed to be in a rebuild, so shut up. Anyway,
Plus, the guy's from fucking New Zealand, so that's two strikes against him.
Oh, there we go, there we go. Yeah, I warned you about him. Australia and New Zealand. Head-to-head here in the chat room. One heck of a long show, which is what WrestleMania is, because it is the granddaddy of all pay-per-views. Starting off at like 3 o'clock Mountain Time, 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific with the pre-show, which basically, what was that, a two-hour-long pre-show?
Two-hour-long pre-show, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the first time it's gone that long, isn't it?
No, they did last year.
Last year was a two-hour pre-show. By the way, starting at 8 a.m. Australian time, fuck off.
Not exactly a big fan of that one, were you?
I don't like waking up before 9 a.m.
Well, you could
You had many pancakes and Red Bull, so you were good.
And you could have woken up at 9. You wouldn't have missed anything.
I know, but still...
It's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Then no complaining.
This is the only time of year I'll actually get up for this shit, but I'm still going to complain about it because fuck you.
Because you're
going to complain about it because of boobs.
No, because he's on the internet. Everyone on the internet complains about something.
Rock's got it. We're on the internet. You got to be salty about fucking something. I can't be salty about this fucking show, so I got to be salty about something. All right.
Already starting out on a high note. Yeah, okay. So the pre-show, we had two matches. We had the tag match.
Hold on,
and
hold on.
Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Now, hold hang on. What?
Before we get to those matches, we have to talk about the most epic moment that happened on the pre-show.
Well, tell us about it.
You had J&J Security going to get coffee, and they were looking for the sugar. Someone else had the sugar. And that was the original Stooges, Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe. They had it for Vince McMahon. It was a tremendous stare down between the Stooges and the current Stooges. Awesome.
The original Stooges and the new Stooges.
Yeah.
See, that part I missed. My stream wasn't exactly the best, and it froze up on me a couple of times. And we'll get to the part where I didn't get a chance to see a certain part of the pay-per-view because my computer just literally locked up on me and I had to restart the damn thing.
You mean the most epic moment of the night?
Yeah, the epicness.
Yeah.
That's what happens when your computer is a fucking toaster, Tim.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, if I could raise $400, I could get my hands on a new one. And I'm taking donations. If you donate $10... then you'll actually get a cookbook that I am actually writing myself. So help me get a new computer, guys, and, you know, get a cookbook out of it.
Oh, Jesus, he's now becoming Booker T. Can we move on now?
Cook Booker T.
All right, so
why don't we talk about the first match? It was the... Thank you for the rim shot.
Ow, that was loud.
Wait a minute, who played the damn rim shot?
There we go.
Omega, now sound effects included.
He's already been a toy, so now he's just a toy with sounds. It's all good.
Yeah, sound effects included, shipping extra. That's our Omega. Okay, tag match. We had New Day versus Kid and Cesaro, who are the reigning champions going into the match, versus Los Matadores and the Usos. Now, who got hurt? Was that Jey Uso or Jimmy Uso?
Well, to correct my recall, it was Jey Uso.
Not Jimmy.
He got messed that up like 20 times. Now, before we get to that, first...
Because they were referring to him as the injured Uso.
Yeah.
Or the non-injured Uso.
Right. Well, first, Natty's outfit, guys.
What
Natty
was
looked
with
good.
I'm just getting confident.
Despite what our resident fashion expert has said, Natty looked good tonight.
Natty always looks good. Of course, I'm biased because she's a friend of mine, but that's beside the point.
And my other note for this was, what was up with the New Day?
Yeah, day glow green.
God.
In the sunlight. What the fuck?
I said it in the chat, and it's absolutely true. They were dressed like an old mountain bike I had as a kid.
I remember that mountain bike. That was a Schwinn or something like that, I think, wasn't it?
It was a Huffy White Heat.
Okay, so and, yes.
Like, it's exactly the same. Bright, like day glow green flames.
Yeah,
I've seen fucking Raver gear that was more dull than that shit. Like, what the who? Like, WrestleMania is the time when you pull out the really good gear, and they pull out stuff that's gonna make people blind.
At least it wasn't just the same old blue they wear all the time.
That's for sure.
Thank fuck for that.
They completely changed up their look. That will give them that much credit?
Sure, right, we'll give
I'm
them that much to... credit because they're not going to get much else.
Well, the...
I'm going to ask people, those of you who have my cell phone, hold off on texting me for, say, about a half hour or so, if you don't mind. But thank you for the order for 5 books. Just like that. Pre-order, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, if you can hold off texting me for about a half an hour, just let us get going before, I can, cause once we get started and the ball gets rolling downhill, then I can pay a little bit of attention to what you're texting me.
By the way, if you're tuned in anywhere on the internet, please come to wildtalkradio.com, join our interactive chat room. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, tweet us at wildtalkradio. We'll read your comments on the air.
Absolutely. That being said, right off the hop, they decide to hurt Jey Uso.
Well, he came in injured.
Yeah, that was the thing. And I think I mentioned it in chat that they had to get the Usos out of there somehow. But they only got Jay out of there, and they did it by throwing him shoulder first into the barricade behind. I don't know. Was that the Spanish or the German announce table?
It was the multilingual table because there were two of them. They were all the Germans, the Italians, the Spanish, and the French. They were sharing two tables.
Oh, okay. So.
Yes, we had five different announce teams tonight.
Yeah. I knew that they had five different live announce teams, but I didn't know exactly which table it was. But it was behind right beside the multilingual table.
I'm surprised we had that many tables of that many languages and none broke.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a WrestleMania.
All night long, we didn't sacrifice announce table.
I rewatched WrestleMania 17, and I got a huge kick because they broke the Spanish announce table twice. they broke the original desk, and then they had to set up on like a leftover table from from TLC 2, and then they broke that one in the main event.
So, what did you think about the tag match?
It was better than what I thought it'd be. It was pretty stereotypical, though. You know, they did all the multi-man spots, Tower Doom, and bits and pieces like that.
Yeah. You get your ending where everyone chains finishers together and no one can tell who the fuck is legal.
Yeah, even the announcers and the referee just went, fuck it, whoever's in the ring is legal.
The ref actually, I will actually commend the ref because he actually did keep track of pretty well. Like, he was calling tags and at least showing that he was trying.
Yeah, and there was one spot where he was like, no, you're not legal. No, no, just stop. Just stop where you're at. Just stop. We had the bull got sharpshootered. We had a double dive by Mr. and Mrs. Uso in this match.
Replacing Jay.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. We had the multiple suplex spot where everyone was sort of hitting a suplex and it sort of led to a backcracker powerbomb spot by the Matadors.
That was mean looking.
Yeah. As Mace mentioned, we had the Tower of Doom spot, the double Tower of Doom.
Which was the high spot of the match.
And the best part of the match was not even a move in this match. Xavier Woods is pounding on the mat. On the ring, trying to get the Tim fans to chant, they're going, New Day sucks, and he keeps clapping the ring. It's tremendous.
Yep, just ignore that crowd, keep going.
Keep it's a New Day, be positive.
New Day sucks, clap, clap, clap.
They still should have gone the Malcolm X route, the idea with those guys.
No, it's just inviting trouble.
They don't need that trouble.
Am I the only one who likes Cesaro and Kid's finish?
I liked it.
Like the 3D style maneuver into the uppercut.
That was great.
No, I like that.
Sweet.
Jimmy Uso hit a frog splash. He was going to pin one of them. I think it was Kofi. Maybe.
Yeah, I got fucking worried during that bit. I'm like, really? They're going to put the title on the Usos when there's only one of them there?
Yeah, Cesaro pulled him out. Covered whoever's in the ring. 1, 2, 3. Cesaro and Kid with their brand new fancy t-shirts.
Yeah, who did get covered?
I don't know. I don't have that noted down. I have Jimmy hits frog splash, Cesaro tosses him out, and wins. I didn't get that part.
I think it was Kofi.
Might have been Kofi. I think it probably was Kofi.
I'm pretty sure it was Kofi.
But I didn't note it down.
No, it was Big E who got pinned.
Oh, was it Big E?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay.
Yeah, because... Yes, Uso hit the splash on Big E. Cesaro tags in, pulls him out, and then steals the pin.
Okay, so there you go. At least someone knew who got pinned.
And so the first match is the title match, and the titles are retained by the champions, Cesaro and Kid. Yay!
This was fun.
It was a fun match.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a fucking car wreck, but it was an enjoyable car wreck.
And for a pre-show match, it was everything you could probably ask for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Before we jump onto the next one, can I just say this? Like, we Rock posted in our little chat earlier, like really early in the night.
About
6 hours ago.
About a day. About yesterday, I posted in the chat.
No. The wide shot of the WrestleMania arena.
Yeah, it seems like a day ago. No, it was only about 8 hours ago.
But yeah, Catano, Jesus Christ. And that was only like, what, they still have one full tier above where the shot was taken. And yep. The ring just looks so tiny. It's like, and WrestleMania tickets aren't cheap. No. How would you feel to be in the very, very, very top of that arena trying to watch the show?
How would you feel being in the back row on the top deck, diagonal to the ring with that post in the way?
Well, there comes a point where you go to an event like this where you pay to watch the big screen TV.
Even the big screen looked tiny for me.
I've got a 50-inch here that cost me less than those tickets did.
I was going to point out that even watching the big screen TV, it was really small looking from where that camera was.
I've been at the top of a sporting stadium, but that was, you know, at a baseball stadium. But I was at the very top row, and you know, it's kind of you have to, you know, really look. But looking for a little ring like that, yeah, that's kind of.
Did those top row tickets come with a supply of oxygen or something?
It must look like trying to watch on like a Game Boy screen.
But again,
you can probably watch ants wrestle and get better detail.
But again, if you're a football fan, those are the kind of seats you get.
The thing is, if you go in there as a football fan, you have a way bigger field to watch. You can actually
true.
Like see shit moving.
And at some point in the game, you're going to have At some point in the game, you're going to have the game actually move to your end.
True. But at the same time, stationary in the middle. But at the same time, you're there for the experience. So, those would be... Yeah. You would think twice about going to Mania if you're all the way at the very, very top.
That was just... Jesus. It was just... I feel part of me does feel sorry for the people that get stuck right up the top, right up the back of the very top tier, that have paid probably about $200 to $300 for those seats.
I don't think they're that expensive, the very top ones.
No, you can actually get WrestleMania tickets for $50, and those would be worse than the seats, but they're, yeah.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm going to spend big money if I ever go.
Right, if you go to Mania, you spend the big bucks.
At least $3,000 to get something halfway decent. that's a stupid thing. You can buy a package for about $3,500 to $4,000 that'll put you halfway up the arena at WrestleMania. So, you know, it's like, second tier somewhere in the middle.
And you get four seats.
No, that's
Floor seats are about $7,000.
No, that's like one tier.
I said four seats, not floor seats.
No, that's one seat, Tim.
Yeah, and that's one, you know, if you should really take a look at the package prices someday. Your mind will go, fuck me.
Yeah, I haven't looked at WrestleMania prices since like WrestleMania 17 or 18, whatever it was in Toronto.
18.
But, goddamn. Of course, now up, we've got the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And who called Axel?
Hold on, Tim. Get it right. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot Memorial. I just have the Andre the Giant Battle Royal down on my notes and I'm reading off of it. But the Memorial Battle Royal for the Andre the Giant trophy. Is that good?
Sure, Tim.
Let's go with that one, all right? Yeah. How many people called for Axel to be eliminated first?
I don't know. I
didn't call it, but for some reason I had it in my head.
Two people.
And who were these two people, Tim?
Listeners, none of us called it. Nobody involved with the network did.
Apparently, she had three people. Listen to the guy who put the sheet together. He says three.
Oh, wait, no, there it is. Yeah, the third one. I missed the third one because it was right next to that line where somebody didn't pick. So, yeah, okay. Speaking of which, Kane Kittens, I'm waiting for your email for the results.
Slacker.
Wait, do you have the results?
No, I'm calling him a slacker.
Oh, come on, get off it, get on it, slacker.
I don't know if he said I haven't checked my email. God, I have 51 emails.
speak of the devil, as I say that, I get his email.
I've got the results for my picks and the WWE 2K15 simulation prediction.
We have those too as well.
Yeah.
I want to take a look at how your Sims did, because you did that on your video console with the 2K15, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I put that through on the PlayStation 4 via 2K15, which came to me from the good people at 2K Games.
By the way, only two people had it correctly. The other guy doesn't count.
Because he's the guy that did it up.
It's King Ken. He doesn't
matter.
And
he probably cheated.
No, he put it in early. I know he did, but I'm just giving him crap because I can. Anyway.
Well, apparently, according to Ken Kittens, you guys are all asses. I'm not, so.
Anyway, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal had...
started off with everybody in the ring, and so I didn't really follow who was eliminated by whom or when.
Let's talk about the body surf. They sort of just sent Axel body surfing out of the ring. It's like,
that was good, yeah. And, of course, that was the first elimination.
Yeah, I have notable eliminations, a couple of them. Rose and Fandango eliminated each other.
Uh-huh. How is that notable? Because they both suck and nobody likes them?
Because it was early on, and it was the one I was able to keep track of.
Yeah, this isn't like the Royal Rumble where you can actually keep track of who goes out and who gets eliminated by whom. It's more like sit back and just watch the bodies fly.
Yeah, it was mostly Ryback, Big Show, and Kane doing the eliminating.
We had Miz and Miz Dow double teaming Alex Riley. Talk about history there. Miz Dow, Riley, you know. That Riley push is going tremendous right now.
Comparatively, it's going outstanding.
He should have stayed in Mount's booth. Apparently, in this match, we had Cesaro, we had Tyson Kidd, The New Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, like half of the last match just came back out.
Matadors came out.
Most of the last match came back out.
No, everyone did, except for Jey Uso.
Everyone did, but the Usos came back out. They probably didn't even come back out. They
just stayed there and waited for everybody else to come out.
Pretty much. No, Mace, Jimmy was actually in the match.
Was he? Mm-hmm. Well, Jimmy, shit, so the last match just stayed in the ring afterwards.
Yeah,
no, they weren't actually in the match, just they didn't get out fast enough and everyone just started piling in and crowding.
We're stuck.
And they're like, oh, we're in it too, I guess.
It's like getting into a subway in Tokyo.
You're not getting off.
Did anyone spot a certain fella tonight?
No. It surprised me.
Yeah, after all the word that he was coming back tonight, he's not there. He must be saving it for tomorrow.
Probably. He was my pick to win this battle royal.
9-2.
Yeah, same. God damn it.
But we had Bo Dallas and his Bo T.
He didn't believe enough, so he got eliminated.
I just like that he ran around the ring after eliminating Zack Ryder. That was tremendous.
Then gets into the ring and is immediately eliminated by...
Hideo Itami.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
Bo Dallas got his WrestleMania moment. He's happy.
He did.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, that Tim, that's the former Kenta. That's Hideo Itami.
Yes, Kenta.
From NXT, he won the NXT tournament at Access on Thursday night.
Yes.
Yep, and he got over with the crowd, but then again, that's not unusual at WrestleMania.
They were chanting Hideo a couple times throughout the match, and then Big Show got booed because, well, he eliminated Hideo.
Big me.
Big old me.
Also because he's a heel this week.
Yes. Yeah. He also eliminated the New Day.
Meh.
And just jumping to the end of the match, something happened that we all collectively speculated on, but never officially picked.
Before you get there, there's one spot we have to talk about.
Okay, talk about the spot.
Big Show gets eliminated Cesaro. After Cesaro tried to slam him, trying to recreate last year's spot.
I will actually credit Big Show. There is a lot of spots during this match where I actually dug what was going on.
He held
Big
on.
Dude skinned the fucking cat!
Yeah!
What the fuck?
But he didn't skin the cat, he just held the rope.
Yeah, and those ropes must have been...
But that exchange with him and the New Day was great.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely would have had to tighten those ropes up between matches.
Yeah, they probably did. And now talk about the moment. Final three.
Yeah.
Who were the final three?
Well, the final three, which led to our thinking that maybe the speculation that we never officially went for may come true. We got Miz, Mizdow, and Big Show were the final three in the ring. Miz and Mizdow talking to each other, and Miz decides that, you know, okay, Mizdow, let's, like, you know, team up. Let's go get him. We'll eliminate him, and then you can, like, you know, just, like, eliminate yourself, and I'll be the winner. Mizdow's like, no.
No, not happening. Nope.
Nope. Biggest head shake of WrestleMania. Of all WrestleManias.
I want to go that far. That's a little overboard, especially on the
well,
I was waiting for the Hulk Hogan style finger wag at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, he played it enough that you were expecting that. That was my point. But, guess who eliminated whom? If you didn't
have
see it.
To. Yeah.
Yeah, because we saw it. We don't have to guess. Mizdow actually eliminates the Miz. And I'm thinking, yes! Come on, Mizdow, win this thing!
They put me on the edge of my goddamn seat.
Those bastards.
And Mizdow actually did good against Undertaker.
Yeah, he did great against the Undertaker,
Undertaker,
Tim.
Undertaker? Really?
I was waiting for that. No.
The Undertaker looks like he's put on some weight since last WrestleMania.
And lost even more hair on the top of his head. Yeah, no, of course, I mean Big Show.
The crowd was so behind Mizdow at this point, though.
You know what?
Well, here's the thing that bugs me, okay? I actually did officially pick Mizdow to win this thing.
As did a lot of people, Tim.
A few. Fewer than you would expect, though. If my computer would quit freezing up on me. Yes, I know toasters.
Oh. This gave me, like, flashbacks to, which one was it? It was Santino and Orton.
No, it was Santino and Del Rio.
Oh, was it Del Rio?
Mm-hmm. Royal Rumble? If you're talking about Royal Rumble, that was Del Rio.
I thought it was the Chamber.
Was it the Chamber? Oh, yeah, that was the Chamber 2. Yeah, Chamber 2. They did that spot twice that year. So it was Orton. You're right. Keep going.
Yeah, it gave me flashbacks to that, because here's, you got this fan-favorite underdog up against the, you know, the impossible force for someone like him, and it actually hangs in really damn well. You know, I wanted it so bad.
I think everybody wanted it really bad.
I was talking to a friend of mine, and he had the exact same thought. When they started talking about how Big Show never won a battle royal,
mm-hmm.
it should have raised suspicion.
Should have. But it begs a question: should it really matter? In 2015, Big Show's never won a battle royal.
In any other situation, like Royal Rumble or anything like that, I would say no, it wouldn't matter. For me, personally, and, you know, spoilers, Big Show wins it. But, yeah, I know, what a shock, you know. For those of you who don't have memory of, like, six or so hours ago, which is a lot of us, to be honest, Big Show winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal should have happened last year. You get the obvious guy out of the way. You know, there's always been the comparison between Big Show and Andre the Giant since his debut. Hell, he was billed as the son of Andre once upon a time.
Well, we had like a collective 2.5 minute chat last year talking about that. I think that he should have been.
But yeah, like it. In any other situation, I'd be right there going, you know what, it doesn't matter whether Big Show's won a Battle Royal or a Royal Rumble or whatever. It's just this situation suited him logically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did, but I hope this is it for him. I hope this is his big shining moment and we don't see much more out of him coming.
That would be nice.
That's
yeah.
Just remember, 10 years left. 10 years left.
does he really have 10 years left?
Well, yeah, so that's about time for about 15 more turns.
20. Only 15?
I'm being generous here.
No, you're being conservative.
I'd say about 50 at this point.
He'll turn face tomorrow night and feud with Kane.
You know what?
I can see it happening, goddammit.
Yeah.
He's a babyface who won the Battle Royal. Everyone cheer him.
Yeah, pretty much. But here's the thing. Like, sure, Sandow was on this big push. Crowd's right behind him and everything. Yep. And he doesn't win the match. But you know what? I ain't mad. We got the progression that we wanted from the storyline.
Finally.
And you know what? At that point, I was just like, cool, we got what we needed. We now set up Sandow versus Miz. I can deal with this.
And we'll get that at Backlash.
No, Extreme Rules, Tim. I wish it was Backlash.
I miss Backlash.
I miss when pay-per-views had a proper order.
No kidding.
I still remember Joey Styles' promo about Backlash. Can't even call Backlash.
I can't even call Backlash!
One of the greatest promos of all time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was Joey Styles, what he's back.
Right.
So, you know, Big Show gets the trophy, and like Mace was saying, you know, that's finally out of the way. Should have happened last year, but it's happened. If they're going to keep doing the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, you know, Big Show had to win it once, and it better sooner than later.
I'm going to agree with that.
So.
And it's not, again, we saw what it did for Cesaro, so winning it.
Absolutely, bugger all.
You know.
We'll put him on a
Big Show could be tag team champion by this time next year.
Wrestling on the pre-show. Again.
The guy who had to be stuck in NXT. So, Big Show, Alex Riley?
Big Show versus Big Cass.
Big Show, Curtis Axel. There's your tag team.
No,
we're gonna get
that. The... should have been the match. It should have been Big Show versus Axel Mania trying to body slam Big Show the whole time.
No, Omega. It's gonna be Bull Dempsey and the Big Show as a tag team.
He's gonna be who?
Big Show and Bull Dempsey.
There's good lord!
You see the pairing now?
I see the pairing, and it makes me fucking cringe.
I know. Tim's like, who? You gotta watch NXT, Tim.
You gotta watch NXT to know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the NXT guys. Yeah. By the way, big props to NXT for Friday night. Heard great things about that show. 5,000 people sold out.
And Vince apparently paying overtime to see more.
Right?
It was exactly.
Yeah, that show was supposed to end at 11:56 because of unions, and they went till 1:20 in the morning.
Eastern time.
No,
see, that's when you know you've got a good money there.
Yeah, no, Tim, that's West Coast. The show started at 10 on the West Coast.
Oh.
And it's 1:20 in the morning. West Coast time.
So it was meant to be a two-hour show. They pulled it out 3 hours, and Vince is like, fuck it, pay them.
Right?
Pay the union guys. I don't give a fuck. Let's just keep the crowds in. Let's just go.
Yeah.
You see, and, you know, that's just great. You know, you hear something like that. They're having such a great time getting so over the crowd, so into it, that your boss just says, yeah, don't worry about it. We're having fun. Let them keep going.
Yeah, it's like, why? You're probably a half hour in. It's like, we really need to keep, you know, this show's got to keep going. We got a lot to do. And from everything I heard, it was a really good show.
Well, good for them. Anyway. So that just, you know, a nice bright future for WWE right there.
Yeah, when Finn Balor comes up, he's going to have a spectacular entrance on the main stage.
Oh my god, when he comes out for Mania.
It's going to be epic.
Oh my god.
Well, you know, another thing, NXT, that is actually Triple H's baby right now, isn't it? He's like...
Yes.
Always has been.
On the booking and everything else like that.
He's the spearhead behind NXT, yes.
And everybody's going absolutely crazy right now over NXT.
One thing it really has advantage for it is how many huge indie stars it's been pulling in for its rosters. NXT really became like the crossover of everyone who is huge on the indie circuit.
Right. Now, before we get into the main show, look at the top four matches on this show. Randy Orton, Seth Rollins. Where did Seth Rollins come from with WWE?
NXT.
John Cena, Rusev. Rusev was NXT. Bray Wyatt, Undertaker. Bray Wyatt, NXT. And Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. NXT. Shows it's working.
Well, what it says to me is, you know, like, give Triple H complete autonomy over the main shows if he's able to do this with NXT.
Well, you've also got to remember that you've got four really good matches where you've got guys who have come up from NXT against some very experienced veterans.
Yeah.
When you put new guys who have quite a bit of talent up against veterans, you get good matches.
Oh, yeah. How did you,
I just don't think we're at the point where we should be going, hey, hand all the reins over to Triple H.
No, it's not even that. It's just give them credit. They now trusted their veteran guys to be in there with these guys.
Oh, hell yeah.
On this stage.
Around, but yeah.
On this stage. That's a true moment. So that's the point I wanted to come across. Now we got to get to the main show, Tim.
And the main show kicked off with the Intercontinental Title ladder match with a whole host of entrants into this one.
Bad News Barrett. We had Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Stardust. And what the hell was Stardust wearing?
Mace called it Mr. Sinister. Mm-hmm. I called it Kefka from Final Fantasy. And I think we both kind of hit point.
And I just call it some more strange shit that Cody put on his face.
We had R-Truth in this match. We had R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, and apparently Luke Harper got new pants.
But he still had a stained goddamn shirt.
Yes, he still had a stained shirt. Though in Access, he was actually wearing a clean one, which was amazing.
I don't think he has like the same shirt. I think he just excretes in the same exact spots on his body.
Yeah, probably.
No. Dean Ambrose did an interview over the weekend and said he's been wearing the same thing for 10 years.
Now was it just me, but Dean Ambrose was fucking overcome when he came out tonight.
Oh yeah,
he got
like from a wide open arena. You could clearly hear the people cheering for him.
They were waiting for him to show up, mm-hmm. And he got a huge pop. Let's see. We had the Falling Star. Harper then dove on everyone, and then Dean Ambrose decided, hey, here's a nice big ladder.
My turn!
Big elbow off the ladder onto everybody.
Me next! Well, you know, you guys talking about Dean Ambrose, definitely one of the most over guys on the roster right now. You could tell it was a big deal because he was wearing a black wife beater.
Yes, it was. You could tell when someone didn't catch what we were talking about. Anyway, Harper kept, uses the ladder to work over people. Stardust used the ladder to work over everyone's legs early on.
Harper did the stereotypical ladder spot with the smallest ladder that he could get his hands on there. And I think it was the bedazzled ladder, too, for Stardust.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But we have to
it wasn't?
It. No. We have to bring that up, though. He had his own ladder, which had its own unique name that I did not write down.
Now, how long do you think it took to bedazzle that damn thing?
Probably a good half hour.
How many spray glue and roll it around? 10 minutes tops?
Whoever did that, he's sitting there crying about partway through this match.
Especially when the leg breaks on it right away. It's like, oops, it came right off. Let's see. We had the big superplex off the big ladder by Barrett on the Stardust.
Mm-hmm. Then we had the death of Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, that was
yes.
The power bomb.
Oh my god. Oh.
The power bomb.
But at the same time, I have to give kudos to the camera operator this year for not getting a huge widescreen shot on the cut part of the ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
unlike last year.
They do have to stop buying these ladders wherever they're finding metal ladders with sawdust in them, ripping them off.
That's what happens when you go to the dollar store. Harper got powerbombed off the ladder to the outside through a ladder so that everyone knows what we were talking about. And then, what's his name? Barrett came in and started pulling Ziggler off the ladder. Bullhammer to him, bullhammer to R-Truth. He just started.
That was the meanest bullhammer I've seen. Ziggler got fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Rock, have you been able to find an update on Ambrose? Because after I saw that powerbomb, I think they just picked him up and just walked him over to a grave, dropped him in, and covered him in dirt. Because the motherfucker's dead.
There was a spot. Yeah. There was a camera shot of him. It looked like, I'm just going to lay here and take a nap.
Yeah, I think he
I don't blame him.
It's the way it looked. He's just like, I'm just going to sit here, put my hands over here, and just going to take a nap.
I'm going to wait until
he fucked up with that bump.
I'm just going to lay here and wait for the Tweety Birds to stop circling my head. But yes, so Bullhammer that absolutely fucked up Ziggler, yeah?
Yeah, we did that.
Okay, what was next?
Let's see. What was next? Brian goes up the ladder. Barrett knocks him down. Brian gets close, gets taken out again. Running knee to Barrett. Then we had the brawl of brawls on top of a ladder between Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan. Punch, punch, punch. Headbutt, headbutt, headbutt. I'm going to have the belt. You're going to have the belt. One of us is going to have the belt.
You know what a smart idea is? You take a guy with a history of concussion and a guy who's recently come back from neck surgery and have them exchange about 20 headbutts.
Yeah, that was brilliant there. On top of the ladder.
I was waiting for somebody to come and push them both off at the end of it, but...
So we had. Go ahead,
Omega. Oh, I was gonna say it's an interesting way of finishing because it's the two most popular guys in that match, you know, and it's basically well whoever doesn't black out here in the next minute. So at the very least, they found at the least an interesting way of finishing. Mm-hmm. I was about to call it exciting. I'm not sure if I want to go that far.
Well, yeah, exciting might not be the most apropos word.
Suspenseful? I don't know. I'm trying to find something and nothing's happening.
Intriguing? No.
So, yes, Daniel Bryan pulls down the belt. He wins. The crowd goes now, crazy.
Yeah, with Daniel Bryan winning the title, becoming the new IC champion, people are all happy about that and everything. What, is this WWE's way of appeasing the fans who were pissed off at Royal Rumble?
No, that comes later when they do something else.
This is how you placate fans so they don't chant yes the entire night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also beginning the rumored build of the mid-card belts. Mm-hmm. To actually give them some sort of credibility again.
Well, at this point, step one is complete.
Yeah.
Couple more steps
to go. Let's see how they do on step night tomorrow. Step two tomorrow night.
No, step two is still to come.
Oh, step two is later on tonight.
Okay, step three in that case.
Yeah, it would be step three.
Profit. Well done, Omega.
Step four is profit.
No.
Step three is profit.
Step three is profit. Have you learned anything from Cards Against
Humanity? Step three is question mark, question mark, question mark. Step four is profit.
No, Tim, if you learned anything from Cards Against Humanity, it's step one blank, step two blank.
Screw Cards Against Humanity. I'm talking South Park.
Who cares?
Cards Against Humanity is more offensive.
Yes.
The original South Park reference is step one, acquire underpants, step two, blank, step three, profit.
We win.
No, never.
Don't try to out-nerd me, old man.
Was that out-nerd or out-geek?
Either one. Moving on.
I would say it would depend on what it is we're talking about, so... That's all there is to it. Anyway
Daniel Bryan has belt. Next match.
Daniel Bryan has belt. New match. Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins, one of the matches I was really supremely looking forward to watching tonight.
And did it live up to your hype?
Didn't get disappointed one bit.
Talk about it.
It was a good match. Quite entertaining, very enjoyable. Randy Orton playing the Stalker perfectly, you know, the Predator going after prey.
Mm-hmm. There was a nice double DDT spot to change the security off the apron by Randy Orton.
Like, oh, yeah, I even forgot about that.
That's a nice way to get rid of them early on. Hey, you guys are going to eat the DDT.
The follow-up was funnier, though, with Rollins diving to the outside and banging his head onto the Spanish announce table.
And we're all thinking, oh, here comes the Spanish announce table bump, but I never got it.
I'm surprised. Even though he dives headfirst into the Spanish announce table, the thing didn't explode.
Well, that would have been
so fragile.
Actually, remember to screw it together tonight.
Mm-hmm. Or they forgot to use the wrong screws on purpose, or by accident, or whatever. Accidentally used the right screws. But how many RKOs did we see in this match?
I don't know, a lot.
And curb stomps.
It's WrestleMania. You kick out of finishes all over the joint tonight.
And it really wasn't the kicking out. We saw more of them to J&J security than anyone else.
Yeah.
In this one?
Yeah, because Rollins and Orton only exchanged finishers once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had the Acai moonsault by Rollins on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice power slam tease into a curb stomp tease into the power bomb, or power slam, I should say, which was really nice. Early on in the match, Orton came off the top rope with a crossbody for a two count. Rollins sort of did that old flip move he used to do. I can't remember the name of it.
Phoenix Splash.
Phoenix Splash.
No. That's off the top rope where he flips back on you. Not from the top rope where he grabbed Orton and then flipped back. It's in the video game. Mace, you know what I'm talking about?
Not the handspring back elbow.
No. What's his other finisher in the game besides the curb stomp? He flips.
You make it think I actually play as Seth Rollins.
But he flips back and then, you know, it's like a reverse cutter type thing. I don't know what the name of it is.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He did that.
Something.
Right. Whatever that was, he flipped back into the RKO on that. RKO on that. That led to a two count. Orton was then setting up for the punt. That's where Orton hit the RKOs on Mercury and Noble. We had a curb stomp. Then we got the Phoenix Splash attempt. He rolls through, curb stomp, gets shot up into the air as high can be, into an RKO for the win.
That was fucking unreal.
I'll be dead honest. Doing the Phoenix Splash and landing on his feet and rolling out the way he did, that's skill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's easy to over-rotate. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, you go for the curve stomp, and it's done so well that it launches Rollins
straight up.
Dude was almost touching hemisphere on that one.
Well, the timing on Randy standing up on that was absolutely perfect.
I reckon, because Randy sort of helps him push off to get that extra height. And it's one of those moments, you've seen the videos on Vine or YouTube where it's, they get to the apex of something, and then they stop the footage and go, and at this point, he realized he done fucked up. Mm-hmm. you get that with Rollins as he's starting to come down.
Yep.
It's like, at this point, Rollins realized he done fucked up.
Into the RKO, boom, 1-2-3, Randy wins. Very entertaining match. I could watch that thing again a couple of times.
I want that combination in 2K16.
The Skywalker.
That'd be a good move set to have.
The Skywalker is the name of the move. Thanks, King Hint.
Skywalker.
That was the name of the move I was trying to explain. It's called the Skywalker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go.
Holy shit on this match.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, in the grand scheme of things, it's probably one of the lower-end matches of the night.
But it was
exciting.
Yeah.
It kept the enjoyment level as the matches were going. It's like, that was good, that was good, that was good, that was good.
Yeah, you look at the matches that came before, and they're multi-man clusters. This is the first one-on-one we had all night, so it's got a lot of energy it has to maintain from the last set of matches.
And I mean, it this did was
great.
Yeah. It did it right completely. This was for me, I had this one listed as one of my potential match of the nights. I had a couple of matches of the night, and this was right up there, very near the top. Now, here's the thing. You're saying it's one of the lesser matches.
In the grand scheme.
In the grand scheme. When you take that into account, that should tell you exactly what we got for this entire WrestleMania this year. If this was one of the lesser matches in the grand show.
Yeah. Like And I'll as usual, it's my own personal opinion and my own ranking for this match. But still, it was... it doesn't mean it's a bad match. Not at all. Like this, as Omega said, this had a lot of momentum. It had to keep going.
Yeah.
And it did exactly that. And I was hyped the entire way through it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant match. Like, there's nothing here that, if you're going on the old stars system, I don't think there'd be anything here that really goes under 4 stars.
Oh, I can't disagree with you on that one. I mean, I look at this match and think that, you know, and using the air quotes here, any of the lesser pay-per-views, I could see this as being the main event. It was that caliber.
Semi-main.
Well,
I'd agree that it'd be one of the main events of another card.
Of a filler pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You
get
like
three fillers a year.
Like our Extreme Rules, coming up on April 26th on the WWE Network.
Yeah, and like the caliber and the quality of this match was that good. And we're thinking that it wasn't one of the, still wasn't one of the best matches on the card. So.
All right, from a technical standpoint, it's probably the best match on the show.
Technically, like the technical execution was like you couldn't get too much more perfect.
As the wrestling match of the night. Could have been.
So.
Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, why don't we take our first break of the evening here and then come back and take a look at more of the WrestleMania, the pay-per-view formerly known as 31. Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You tuned into WTR Sunday Night, wildtalkradio.com. Tune in, and of course, affiliated with pwmania.com. We'll be back right after this. All designed to keep you safe, but when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith. I have a voice that is my savior, hates to love and loves to hate. I have a voice that has the knowledge and the power to your fate. I hear voices crying, I see heroes dying, I taste blood that's drying, I feel tension rising. I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/mbg1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were... Fandangoing, yes, let's go Cena, Cena sucks, and what's up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? Cena great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Said it. Yes, yes, yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
no, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yes, yes, yes. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, no, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No.
Ah!
No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, sub.
Oh, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations. You picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a problem? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my guns?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
Alright, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's picks, CB Radio and WTR picked. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god. Wait. Down. I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
seeing something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a Johnson! Johnson! James the Snake Roberts! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is adapt. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my god! Are you kidding me? Rollins just hit the Santa Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Let's Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just to let you know, those of you who have tuned in for the first time, all of these promos that you hear from the WWE superstars saying that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio, those are actual, real, genuine promos that we get because, well, those people happen to be guests on the Wild Talk Radio Network, and they have done interviews with various shows. So if this is your first time to the network, you're missing out. You got to keep coming back to the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com.
Because you never know who will be on the show next.
That's right. So, and yeah, that being said, time to look at the next match, which I'm kind of surprised they put it at this point in the match.
With everything that happened after, I'm not surprised.
After the fact, no. But beforehand, I'm like, why is this happening now? Of course, we're talking about Sting versus Triple H, which is why we had the WWE Crow music coming back.
All right.
Yeah, so Sting, I'm going to say this. Fuck that music!
All right, so let's start. Sting had face-painted drummers. I thought it was pretty cool.
It was like the Japanese...
Okay, face painted drums, good. Japanese drums, fuck off!
That was so weird. I don't know where they got the idea for Taiko drums, but I don't know.
Sting came out in his red fancy coat, shirtless. He is now ready for it to perform.
He dropped that TNA belly.
Which, by the way, if none of you are, did you guys see WrestleMania today on Thursday or Omega?
No.
Nope.
Okay, so they had Ric Flair on the panel. We'll get back to the match in a second. And he sort of was hinting around the TNA Hall of Fame and Sting being in TNA on that show. It's like, he was like, my goal was to try to point out, Sting hasn't wrestled in for such a long time. Ric Flair was like, he's wrestled once a week for the last 10 years. You know, down there. You remember, Booker. You were there.
Ooh. is it just me, or is this lately every time Flair's doing some big event for WWE, he finds a way to get himself, like, in trouble or possibly not invited to the next one?
Last time he just flat out talked about TNA.
And then he hinted around, you know, I wanted this thing to come here for the longest time. It's a couple of years ago. Come here, you can be inducted into a wrestle match, then be inducted to a real Hall of Fame. I'm not saying, like, there aren't other Hall of Fames, like the NWA Hall of Fame and this, you know, this other Hall of Fame.
Without actually naming it.
But the WWE is the real Hall of Fame, because TNA Hall of Fame is not a Hall of Fame. So if you
get shiny rings in the WWE Hall of Fame.
So if you're wondering why Ric Flair's speech on Saturday night was really, really short, he opened
now
his mouth.
You know.
Now you know. They weren't happy. Anyway, moving on.
So we got that intro for Sting, and then we got something that was just like, oh, I'm telling you, it gave me the fuzzies all over. Triple H's WrestleMania 31 intro was all Terminator.
I've been waiting for you.
Judgment Day is here. It's time to play the game.
And what a very hostile or extremely hostile environment.
Yeah, the Skynet scan style thing and
Target acquired.
Yeah, and then you had Arnie coming and he drops the line. I'm like, I got tingles, and then all of a sudden you see the fucking thing rise up.
Oh my god!
I'm like, oh my god, Terminators! If they start moving, my shit will blow.
Yeah,
I was waiting for that, and I was hoping, please, lights start glowing red.
They had the guns from the movie.
Yep.
All they needed to do was find some way to get them to all of a sudden just move their arms up and use them as fucking firework launchers.
And that would have
seriously,
been
and that would have been enough.
That would have been epic. But yes, it was a very, very, very very well done entrance. Very good. Mm-hmm. And you know, Schwarzenegger coming out on the big screen, and he takes off his glasses and his eyes are glowing red.
I did get a kick out of Triple H's little exosuit thing because those Terminator arms are just barely long enough to reach his hands.
Now, here's the thing. That little exoskeleton thing that Triple H was wearing, great from a distance, looks so cheap up close.
Oh, yeah.
It did.
It looked B-movie cheap. Like, what was that company that kept putting out all the
Asylum.
Yeah. Looked like it was something from an Asylum movie.
It looks like something you put together for a student film out of tinfoil.
Oh, especially. Yeah.
Or you get the silver paint from the
store.
Like, Home Hardware. Or whatever. Or Home Depot. And you just spray paint the stuff.
Yeah, excuse us if we're forgetting shit tonight, people. It's been a long night.
It's been a very long day. It really has. But one thing that didn't come across during the live entrance, but that link that you gave us, I think, Mace, that picture looking up at Triple H from down below, the Terminator heads he was holding?
That was Rock who gave you the...
Oh, the Rock gave us the link? Okay, well, anyway, the link, that it was a picture looking up from below the stage with Triple H's up top with the Terminator heads in his hands. You couldn't see it live, but in that picture you could see that the eyes of the Terminator heads he was holding were actually glowing red.
Yeah, that was a big thing about tonight. Like, anything that glowed or lighting effects, extremely dulled by the abundance of sunlight for 95%.
Yeah. Take it from a nerd. Sunlight is not your friend.
Not when it comes to special effects like that, yeah.
Take it from a video guy. Sunlight you cannot control will ruin everything.
Yep.
But they handled it pretty well.
Awesome effect on indoors.
Yeah, but they handled it pretty well tonight. I will give them credit for the entire night. They played around the sun. It's really well done. Yep.
Well, they did a good job with the whole thing. They really did. But let's actually get to the match itself here. Damn. The entire thing just gave me tingles from start to finish. A lot of people aren't going to like the ending, but we'll get there and talk about that. But we had Triple H facing off against Sting, and it was literally, you know, you're watching this and you're thinking, God damn, you know, this is what it could have been. Like,
oh, look, here's the thing. People have been going, oh, you know, Sting could have done this 14 years ago and all that. Fuck that. Even these guys, 14 years later, went in there and it was like neither of them missed a step. You know?
Yeah, neither one of them looked bad.
Triple H was making Sting look like a million and one bucks for 95% of this.
Yeah.
And then and then you had Sting, who really just did not look like he was out of shape or anything like that.
All right, before we continue on and get into this match deeper, Tim.
Yeah, we actually, we've got a caller on the air. Hey, caller, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, guys, it's Amy.
Amy, long time no hear.
Yeah, I know. And I am calling from San Jose.
Oh, my God, you traveled to the West Coast.
I traveled to the West Coast, yes.
Cool, cool.
I'm tired as can be, but I was a. I mean, nothing can go wrong with WrestleMania. Although it's just like awesome.
Tell us what it's been to be like in that sunlight for 6 hours.
What was that? I'm sorry.
Tell us what it was like to be in the sunlight for 6 hours.
I got burnt. My friend is even worse. She got like all over her. You know, face is all burnt and stuff, but I mean, yeah, that was okay. But I mean, you know, it's what it is. It's WrestleMania. You go through any pain to see WrestleMania.
So, where were you sitting during the show?
I was the stage, like the WrestleMania stage. I was to the left, right where I was one section over from where Roman Reigns came out.
So
okay, so opposite hard cam.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like to the left of where Roman Reigns came out. I was like the next person over to the left.
Better question: how high up? That's how high up were you?
I was like row 18. It was like section 101, not 101. I'm sorry, section 113, row 18. So it wasn't that high up.
That's not too bad because we saw pictures from people really high up, so we were trying to get the perspective. How small was the ring?
I zoomed in a lot on my camera, so I got like a really lot of good pictures, but it looked like a regular sized ring to me. I don't know.
Okay, no, it was just mainly how small was the ring from where you were sitting now is the whole perspective thing.
In
relation to a standardized arena.
Yeah.
It didn't seem... It didn't seem big, but, it wasn't small either. From where we were, it was pretty much, the normal ring. It's just, a little bit higher up, but we're in, a section where it was just,
So you had pretty good seats. That's basically your point. Is you had pretty good seats compared to the nosebleeds. That's basically what we're going.
Yeah, we had pretty good seats. We were the travel package, so it was pretty decent.
So give us an idea. How was the crowd? What was it like being there for the show?
They were pretty much spot on. Every time of course we all boosted Cena. That was a given.
But he was Mr. And America. He was Mr. America. How can you boo America? Come on now.
Because Roman Reigns came out on a tank.
Rusev.
Rusev, not Roman Reigns. But that would have been funny as hell.
It'd be very hard for him to come out on a tank through the crowd. I'm sure there'd be a lot of injuries.
So much better entrance.
That would have been funny. we were just chanting random stuff too. Every time something awesome happened, it was like, okay, come on now. Where else can top this?
So was it very loud, actually being in the crowd? Because it comes across on TV, the crowd's almost very subdued because of the openness of the arena. But I'm guessing it's a very different thing being in the middle of the crowd.
You could hear yourself think. It was loud, but it wasn't overabundance loud. Like I said, we had a few chants going. It was kind of cool.
Overall, who got the loudest ovation from what you heard?
I would probably say either Daniel Bryan or Dean Ambrose.
Interesting. Favorite.
But, Everyone also kind of chanted for The Rock when he came out. And then, of course, we got the Ronda Rousey chant going on in my section. So it's come on.
favorite moment of the night?
Had to be when DX came out and then we're like, okay, come on, NWO, where are you? And then the NWO came out. That was kind of awesome. Mm-hmm. That was oh, my gosh. And then I was commenting to my friend. I'm like, okay, X-Pac must be so confused for the fact that he has DX5 and NWO ties. Mm-hmm. He's in both groups. He must be confused.
He's a very confused individual.
Now, you said you were there on a travel package, so I'm guessing that you went to WrestleMania Access as well?
Yes.
So tell us what was going on there, because that's something that doesn't really get seen on television that often.
There was a lot of NXT matches, and then there was of course autograph signings and stuff, and you just get to meet all the superstars. There was certain superstars that comment the certain accesses, and we got to meet the one person I really wanted to meet was AJ, but I've met her before, but I wanted to meet her again. Mm-hmm. So I got to meet AJ, and it was kind of cool because I have custom made Converses that have her name on it. So nice. I was can you sign my Converse for me? And she was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you made these. She's like, these are so cool. So that was kind of awesome. And then, we got to meet like Tyson and Cesaro and Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, you know, all of them. And then we got to meet like NXT people. So that was kind of cool. I got to meet Charlotte. So that was like really neat.
Nice.
And then like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville and stuff. But, I mean, it's like, you know, it's just the whole experience of it all. And just, you know, being there, it's just kind of like, oh my gosh, I got to meet these people. And then what was actually kind of cool was we bought an extra package for a VIP. So we got to meet Randy Orton. So that was kind of cool, too.
Very nice. And we just sat here and talked about the whole Triple H entrance. Being in the crowd, what was that experience like?
I couldn't really see because it got really, really, like, smoky.
Okay.
So I couldn't really tell what was going on. I just saw Terminator, so I kind of figured that's what was going on, and there was, like, a whole bunch of Terminators. That's why I figured it was, but it got really smoky, and I couldn't really see.
Okay, and before we let you go, tell us favorite moment, best match of the night.
Best match, what was it? Taker Wyatt, my friend said. He liked Taker, so. That was a pretty good match. I also liked the ladder match, too. That was pretty good. The first match of the night was pretty good.
Now, I've got to ask this, because, like, the crowd sounded, like, crazy as hell at the end of the night. What was the live reaction to what happened at the end of the main event?
I kind of left.
Oh!
All right, we're done with it.
I kind of figured that, okay, if something's going to happen and he's going to cash in, so I kind of figured Seth Rollins was going to cash in anyway. So I was like, okay, yeah, it's, you know, let's just go. And plus there's like 79,000 people there and we're all going on the tram car.
Right.
So
no, that's fair
enough.
It was
just like you all got to go in line and go get in line and stuff for it, and it's just like packed and stuff. So it was kind of like craziness. But it was actually funny on the way out. We were asking a question to one of the security guys, and Rob Van Dam walked by me and my friend. We're like, oh my gosh, it's Rob Van Dam. So this is kind of randomness. So I was like, oh my gosh, they're good Bobby Day.
Well, they're in California. No surprise that he was there.
Anyway,
thank you for calling in tonight. Greatly appreciate it.
All right. And no problem. I had fun. I miss talking to you guys, so I'll have to listen more often when I have time.
Yes, you should. Thanks
again. Yeah, I never have time anymore. I go to work and stuff, so it's like,
All good. Take care. Safe travels.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you guys.
Thanks, Amy.
Bye. All right.
Everybody, Amy Simons, better known to some of you in the chat room as Jersey Girl, attending WrestleMania Live, giving us a phone-in report.
Some live perspective.
Which is always kind of cool, so thank you very much to her for taking time out to do that. She's got to be exhausted, but probably not as tired as some of us here tonight.
And we still have a whole show to go through. So let's get into this match, and this was Sting. We got to
see, damn, it was a good match.
We got to see Sting beat Sting.
And, you know, already it's happened. We've got King Kittens in the chat room saying it, and it's going to happen all week long. Oh, this match is crazy overbooked. It was ridiculous. No, this was perfect. It was over the top. They brought back the Monday Night War.
And they, well, helped out a 50-something-year-old man.
Yeah, this needed the overbooking in order to sell it.
And guess what? I know I wasn't expecting what happened to happen.
We got DX doing a run-in.
Yeah, that was confusing. Like, all of a sudden DX's music is going. I'm like, wait, did the sound guy just fuck up? And then you turn up the ramp. It's like, oh.
Wait.
Hi, Road Dog. Hi, Billy. Hi, X-Pac. The hell?
And Billy.
Why are you guys here?
Billy sprinted
to that
ring.
Hold a second. These guys are here. We've got to have NWO or it's just...
No. Here's the thing. The first thought in my head when DX came down, where's Sean? Yeah.
That was my mine too. It was like, he's around there somewhere. We saw him last night. Anyway, what happened was we had the Scorpion Deathlock on Triple H. DX shows up. DX then gets, you know, Sting knocks him out, goes to the top rope. Sting dives off the top rope down onto the pile. And then eventually gets pedigreed, two count. Then all of a sudden, wait, that's the NWO.
No, no, no. Triple H went under the ring and grabbed out the sledgehammer.
Right, yeah, yeah, that's right. He got the sledgehammer.
Then Roadhouse hits.
And then out came Hall, Nash, and Hogan. And they actually brawled a little bit. We had DX versus the NWO in 2015.
It was the weirdest thing.
Go ahead.
Thirteen-year-old me flipped the fuck out over this because it's the NWO coming out to save Sting.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
My reality is shattered.
The NWO is saving Sting. The fan fiction match of DX versus the NWO. And in the ring you had the main match of WWE versus WCW. It was like,
what
the 90s just blew my mind all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it was Aliens versus Predator.
Instantly, I didn't care that we didn't get Sting and Taker.
Yeah.
Because they got to do this, and this was so worth it.
This was worth every single second of it, because this was unexpected. This was the unexpected WrestleMania moment that you always probably wanted, but never knew you wanted.
And never knew you wanted until you finally got it in 2015.
And of course, you know, Hogan taking the sledgehammer from Trips to save Sting, it's like, wow, 97 never happened.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, once Trips finally gets a hold of the sledgehammer, Sting's like, hey, Sting, have a bat.
Scott Hall goes, here you go.
Scott Hall flips it up to Sting. Sting just, boom, right down the middle.
Well, you should explain the moment Hogan steals the sledgehammer when he was in the Scorpion Deathlock. And then, we were missing one guy.
Here he comes.
Out of
ninja
nowhere.
Ninja Sean is ninja.
He came out of nowhere, sweet chin music to Sting, tells him to suck it. Led to a two count.
Oh, and thank fuck for that. I saw Triple H crawling and gets the fucking pin. I'm on the edge of my seat. I've jumped out of my chair, almost put my head through the TV going, don't fucking win like this!
Yeah, so then we had the sledgehammer versus the bat spot. Sting breaks the sledgehammer in half with the bat. And man, you're like, okay, here we go. Stinger splash. And then Triple H goes for it again. Hunter has the other half of the sledgehammer. Knocks out Sting. Sean's jumping up down like giddy schoolgirl. One,
like Sean does.
Like Sean does. One, two, three. Your winner. Triple H.
Now, a lot of people are not going to like this ending. And
I'm one of them.
Okay. I wanted Sting to win. I'm going to admit it. I'll be the first one to admit it. However, the way that they ended this, based on the small amount of buildup beforehand, made sense. It was logical. Because Triple H, in his myriad marathon monologues on TV, basically said this was WCW versus WWE, him versus Sting. And on paper, it's logical, and it makes sense that Triple H finally comes out on top.
And if you are mirroring the Monday Night Wars, then there is a logic to it.
Yep.
On the other hand, this is probably the only time Sting will ever wrestle in the WWE, and he takes the pinfall.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I'm going to say that we have not seen the last of Sting in the WWE ring before the Hall of Fame next year.
Well, that's what we hope. But the thing is, there was interviews this past week with Sting that he said, this is probably my last one.
But he left the caveat. If they call for a Survivor Series or WrestleMania, we'll have to see. He left the window open.
And you know what the worst thing about this is? Even though he's left the window open, sure, we can do Sting versus Taker next year or something else. No. After tonight, I want Sting versus Triple H too.
You want a rematch?
I want a rematch, and I want Sting to win it, and I want to see a fucking rubber match.
You want three matches.
I want the fucking series.
You know what? God damn it. So do I. Now that he's off the puck.
And the stupid thing is, like, leading into all this was probably the match that I had the least hype for. At the end of it, I want fucking more.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Let's face it. Your panties were wet after this one.
Fucking soaked, mate.
Absolutely. Listen, anybody and everybody who gets on the internet tonight through tomorrow, through the rest of the week, to bitch and complain about this match was not a wrestling fan during the actual Monday Night War when it was going on.
Oh, it's got nothing to do with that. If you jump on to shit on this match, fucking shame on you. Get the fuck off the forums. You know, this was one of those matches where it's like, leading up to it, people were shitting all over it. I was one of them.
Yeah,
and you know what? I will sit here and I will eat humble pie. Because this match was brilliantly booked. You know, whether people say it's overbooked or not, this was exactly what we needed. And it's got me wanting more, which is something you want to do with a guy who's on a limited contract like Sting.
Yep.
And you can't say this match was overbooked because guess what? You have a 53-54-year-old guy in that ring who, as Ric Flair said, wrestling once a week for 10 years.
Yep.
This was his style. Bells and whistles. We all knew it coming. Bells and whistles. They were getting around to it. And the key to this match was the announcement at the beginning. This match can only be won by pinfall or submission.
Mm-hmm. That was the tip-off right there, and we all picked up on it, but weren't quite sure what they were going for. But we had it in the back of our mind as soon as we heard that, hey, you know, they just turned this into a no-DQ match. What's going on?
Generally, whenever it's a no-DQ match, it is to protect whoever's in the match. And at 56 years old, I could understand that for Sting.
Yeah. Well, how old is Triple H? He's like 46 now?
Something like that. But Sting's been so beat up for the last 10 years, you know.
I tell you what, he didn't fucking look it tonight.
No, he looked great.
He looked good. Yeah, you know, Triple H did everything he can to put him over, make him look like $1 million. But Sting helped his own self in that regard, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you can tell just by looking at Sting's body shape, dude actually has put in the miles to rebuild his body. And it paid off in droves tonight. And Vince, if you haven't already, offer that man more money.
No kidding.
Offer him whatever it takes to give us
a Brock deal.
Yeah.
Please.
You could tell. He was pounding away because if this was going to be his last, he wanted to make sure it was not putting the horse down or anything.
No.
I want to see more. Like, I wouldn't mind a rematch, but oh my god, that went so well. I don't know if you could top it. I don't know if I want to see them even try.
You won't get as good of a moment, that's for sure.
I was like, there was one thing I was missing. There's one thing I was missing. I was like, I really want. Okay, now that Sean's out here, I really want Ric Flair to come down too.
Well, I want
the sides evened up there.
Yeah, weren't we all collectively asking, okay, well, there's Sean. Is there anybody else from WCW that could come out? I don't think so. I think we've got them all.
That would make sense in this battle? No. Because if you had Ric Flair come out and side with the NWO, your mind would be like, what?
The NWO, come on.
At least Sting was at least part of the NWO at one point.
Red.
Still.
He was
that
part
was
of NWO.
Face NWO. As soon as they went heel, he was out.
But at the same...
Hey, look. We all know that next year they follow it up with Vincent.
The thing was, even when he was with the Wolfpack, it was because they were against NWO Hollywood.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Even when NWO, he was against the NWO.
I know, but, you know, he has his ties to the main event mafia and everything. Oh, wait, never mind.
Wrong one. But, shit, yeah. One more match. Okay, two more matches.
I wouldn't be.
Sean, come out of retirement.
That, you know what?
Settle down, you.
Yeah, he said last night, settle down. But if you're comparing, you know, what do you do? Sting versus Sean or Sting versus Taker? I'd go with Sting versus Sean.
I
if
have
Sean
waited.
Come up for one more match, yes.
I have waited since I was 12 years old to see Shawn Michaels super kick Sting. I got to see it tonight.
It's tremendous.
I'm so damn happy.
Was it worth the wait, Omega?
Oh, you have no idea.
And you know what? As Sting said, keep the door open for maybe Survivor Series and WrestleMania. Maybe Shawn at Survivor Series and Taker at Mania?
No. No. No.
Other way around?
I don't want to see Taker.
Yeah, no, if you're
going to
bring Shawn out, you bring him out for Mania. And Sting is different enough for Shawn that it would work, that it would be enough to entice him out for one.
Because it's got to be different. It's got to be different for Shawn. If he's going to come out and they have to fill 100,000 seats,
that would do it.
Because apparently they're on the outs with a rattlesnake, so other hands may have to be on deck now. So
that's the thing. That's one match I really could not give a flying rat's ass if they tried to book would be Sting versus Austin.
No, it's not. It's not even that match. It's in general. They seem to be on the outs with a rattlesnake.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. I'm just saying. You know, even if they weren't on the outs with Austin at the moment. Sting versus Austin just doesn't sound like a draw.
Yeah, there are certain matches when you think WCW versus WWF that you think of. And when you think of Austin, you think of Goldberg. Like, that was the match they should have had when they had the chance.
Or Hogan. Yeah.
Oh, Christ. Could you imagine if Goldberg had showed up tonight to be in Sting's corner?
That would have been awful.
Yeah, that would have been just bad. I'm sorry. You had the NWO come out. That was enough.
God.
What if X-Pac turned back into Six and, like, betrayed him at the end?
He's defected.
Yeah.
Now, because we have a lot of show to get on, and we're already almost 2 hours. The next awkward moment was the Daniel Bryan interview.
Yes!
The parade of people who held that belt.
Pat Patterson, Roddy Piper, Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair, who wooed, Piper kissed Daniel Bryan, and then Bret Hart put over Daniel Bryan. And they all did, yes, yes, yes.
Because Daniel Bryan needs to be more over. He needs the rub.
Daniel Bryan, if anybody on that roster needs help, God help me, it's Daniel fucking Bryan. Jesus Christ. I mean, it was fun to see all of the past champions. Don't get me wrong.
It's funny. Yeah,
you know, and it was cute, but it was just time taken that you didn't need to.
Listen, when you get something like that together, when you get it together for the Intercontinental Champion, you know, there's a noticeable gap, you know, this honky tonk man shaped gap.
Yeah, you know, they could have done that tomorrow night on Raw, and just had them all show up together.
Yeah, but at this point, we were starting to get later into the show, and we still had over 2 hours left. We needed some filler.
And by the way, was I the only one happy? Musical time.
That was right when I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, best time piss break ever.
I made dinner during that, and it was perfect. I, with my George Foreman grill, made two hamburger patties and put them all together, had two double cheeseburgers, and that was good.
Until you have a cookbook, no one cares. Get it now.
Fuck off.
Pre-order it now. Go email Tim. admin@wildtalkradio.com. Pre-order this book. Tales from the Man Kitchen or something like that?
From the Man Kitchen. Yeah, I'm sorry, you were boring me. I couldn't stop yawning while you were talking.
It's all good. We then had the Divas match after intermission. The Divas opened up.
AJ and Paige teaming up as frenemies to take on the Bellas in a tag
and
team match.
AJ taking a nap at ringside for 90% of the match.
Yeah, what's up with that?
It was the whole face in peril thing. You know, keep the partner outside for the entire thing, try and build up a bit of drama.
Didn't really
to be honest, this is probably my lowest point of the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, that being said, it was not a half bad Divas match.
No, it really was. It was no. pretty good.
Yeah. It's a Divas match that tried to tell a story. That's in itself is kind of amazing.
That's an amazing tale from where we were a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Even 6 months ago.
How about last month ago, 30 seconds right after a commercial break?
Yeah.
That was just last month. Holy cow. Yeah, give Divas a chance.
But even so, it's like, it was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
It just, at that point, I just really wasn't caring. I was still riding the high of the Triple H Sting match. I had just been and grabbed lunch during the music thing. I was more interested in just looking at anything else to just calm myself down before I flew off into the atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, this match, I just went, eh.
I'm watching it now. After all the hype of the last, you know, everything we saw, watching it back, pretty good.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It was a good match. It's just wrong spot after massive hype fest.
No, honestly, any match would have been in the wrong spot. There's no coming. There's no following that.
And it really took a couple matches to really get back.
Yeah. If anything, the musical break was perfectly timed just to give you a little bit more. Otherwise, you'd be looking at like 3 matches before the audience came back.
Yeah. Well, you know, the only other thing that they could have done that would have made any sense at all, really, is to put Triple H and Stephanie McMahon in their spot.
No, that
would have been too soon. Too soon.
Yeah, immediately following the match the Trips just had.
Mm-hmm.
Would have worked.
If you wanted to extend that out, if you wanted to extend it out a little bit, you could have put the Hall of Fame spot in between the music act and the Divas match.
Yeah, that would have worked.
That would have been
good. Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I said Triple H Steph, I'm thinking, well, wait, no.
So it took 2 Black Widows, but the second one stayed in as Brie got sent into the steps. AJ makes Nikki tap.
And Rock, you say that just as she taps on my screen.
Yeah, I'm watching it now. It's like we timed this or something.
Very well done. Yeah, so, call it the lull, if you will, but if you're like a lot of us and wish to see the Divas actually being allowed to wrestle instead of just being, you know, arm candy that flops around in the ring in shorts, well, this went a long way towards that.
And I will be, I'm proud of this crowd. They were in, they actually paid attention. They didn't, you know, chant stupid names at the girls like they've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
This was respectable crowd, respectable
match. That's it, the crowd respected the Divas.
Well, you really do have, like, the 4 most notable Divas on the roster in this match. I mean, and you didn't shove in Snooki or Maria Menounos for no reason. Like these are like your 4 Divas, you know, like the Bellas or not.
Mm-hmm. You know,
these are the ones that have character. These are the ones that have personality and story behind them. So, you know, kind of like they did in the Attitude Era. So guess what? The audience might actually care.
Woo-hoo.
And that's what they got to get the crowd to do. Care.
They kind of did a bit. Yeah, all in all, pretty good. And, of course, up next is the next match. Rusev Pudria, Rusev Machka.
Russian soldiers leading as Lana came to the ring.
He had a tank!
I know, Roman Reigns came out on a tank.
Yeah.
God, hundreds killed.
Roman Rusev.
No wonder there was so much blood in that match.
Okay, quit picking on Mace. He's had enough.
Okay, I'll go back to picking on you.
Okay, pick on me. She hasn't had enough.
But it was that entrance was like, holy shit!
All it was
missing was Vladimir Putin himself introducing Rusev.
No, the only thing it was
shirtless on a horse.
That would have been awful. Really, especially in HD, that would have been awful. No, the only thing that made Rusev's entrance better is if it got on the stage, but you couldn't.
Yeah, it's true.
But
Oh my god, one hell of an entrance. And then what does John Cena get? A video
stock footage.
Yeah.
I am really, really surprised he did not come out in red, white, and blue. I was really
surprised. I'm
surprised
he didn't do anything.
Yeah, it was very stock standard for Cena. Like,
yeah,
you expect after Rusev has this grand, you know, Russian style entrance with the soldiers and the tank and everything, you'd expect Cena to like try and one up it.
He was supposed to be the guy backing the USA, and it's like, where's
he
that?
Didn't like, where's. Like, do a hacksaw, bring a fucking flag out and swing it around at least. No, I didn't even get that. We got a fucking towel.
What he needed to jog out in a hoodie with people trailing behind him, and they needed to make it look like Rocky. Yeah. Get down to the ring, the sweats come off, he's in the Apollo Creed, red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
Confetti, what was the music that they used for Apollo Creed's entrance? Living in America.
Ah, live in America.
Well, you don't want to play that because
McDonald's.
You don't want to play that because he got killed by the Russian in that fight.
Well, the crowd probably wanted him to get killed by the Russian.
It wasn't the music that killed him, for crying out loud.
It wasn't the music. I only bring up Apollo Creed because that's what he was wearing during that's what Rocky was wearing in the fight.
Yeah. But the thing is, you know, again, you could have at least had American military personnel.
Something. Guys holding flags.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Over the years, we've had so many over-the-top pay-per-view entrances for John Cena, especially at WrestleMania. They deliberately toned it down, and it wasn't about all the hype for John Cena, and the whole idea was to get the point across to the fans that this was about, you know, winning the U.S. title from the Russian guy.
But where was the American flag? Where, like, even just, like, something to represent America? At least change the shirt, because they do it every 3 months. Make it red, white, and blue.
Where's the red, white, and blue shirt? And let's be honest, it's WrestleMania. This is the one time of year you don't want Cena to tone it down. This is the one time that I expected Cena to have the most grandiose Americanized entrance of all time because he's taking on the Russian superpower. The Russian gigantic show of force. Where's Cena's comeback?
Yeah. He should have parachuted in from a fucking Black Hawk helicopter.
Well, people keep bringing up Rocky IV, and, you know, in Vegas with Apollo Creed, he had the big splashy over-the-top American entrance, right, and gets killed, and then they go to Russia, and the big over-the-top entrance belonged to Ivan Drago, and Rocky just kind of, like, showed up and didn't have any flair for his intro or anything
thing is, Cena hasn't been acting like Rocky coming into this match. He's been acting like Apollo Creed.
Yeah, and the reason he didn't get a flashy entrance is because that match was in Russia. We're in the fucking U.S. for this one.
I know.
Now, to change subject completely, Lana threw a shoe.
Who throws a shoe?
Lana and Oddjob.
Not odd job.
Well, it was random task.
Random task.
Like, I can understand the idea of throwing in the towel. Throwing in the shoe?
And all
that's a new one.
Well, that must be a Russian one. I don't know.
And all the girls I follow on Twitter and Tumblr and everything, she threw a Louis Vuitton. Why throw a Louis Vuitton?
Don't throw a Louis Vuitton. You know how much those things cost?
Exactly. That was their whole point.
Probably more than the tank did.
At least as much.
And guess what? Cena learned the seventh move.
Yeah, Cena realized tonight five moves of doom don't cut it.
No, he hit the springboard stunner. What?
Yeah, and every time they showed it, my fucking stream froze up every single time.
It's the one time my stream was perfect.
It's like it froze up as he's getting ready to hit the move, and it froze up on the replay directly after, and the fucking replay at the end of the match.
Jesus. That's a bitch.
So if anybody's got a if anybody's got a gif of that move, please send it my way so I can see it.
Oh, well, we'll
like Australian internet has the Cena variety filter.
Yeah, if he does any more.
Yeah, it only handles five moves.
Then it fucks up and says, whoa, wait, no, freeze!
They have to censor move number six.
Yeah. Cena broke out the broke out of the accolade in this one. He had the STF on, let it go. Lana was up on the apron. Lana gets taken out by Rusev accidentally. She takes a big old bump.
Cena, you bastard.
We hit the AA. 1, 2, 3, your winner and new United States champion. This was step two, John Cena.
Yay.
I ain't even mad.
This was the right outcome for this match.
You know, it doesn't hurt Rusev one bit.
Oh, look, yeah. Rusev looked so fucking strong and dominant throughout this entire fucking match that yep. Cena winning in the end doesn't mean jack, doesn't hurt Rusev in the slightest. You can still see a good future for Rusev.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
And to keep Lana off of television for the next few weeks as she films her movie, Rusev had no compassion for Lana falling.
I'll kiss her boo-boos better.
Thank you, Bill.
She hurt her ankle. No, May, stop. Stop. No, no. Ankle, Mace. Ankle.
I gotta make sure I cover everything. It's okay. Just double checking.
He's going for the Shiatsu nerve point thing.
It's all about increasing blood flow. It's all good.
See? He told you. But yeah, no, the match was good. It wasn't anything that I don't think anybody expected Rusev to retain, did they?
I thought they had a better match last month.
You liked the match last month better? Why?
I don't know. This one just felt very anticlimactic.
Anticlimactic.
Yeah, I just, like, Cena winning, I was like, okay, Cena was winning, and, like, I don't know, there was no real doubt about it. Like, I didn't buy the accolade this time around.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe that was just me.
I think it might have something to do with last month, because it was the start of the feud, you didn't know what was going to happen. This month, you sort of, you had it in the back of your head, Cena's going to win. So that might have dulled the excitement a touch.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, you see, for me, I had it in the back of my head Cena was going to win it, and it really didn't affect my enjoyment of the match. I don't think I would have enjoyed it any more had it been, you know.
And I'm not saying the match was bad or anything. I thought last month there was more, I guess the best way to put it, there was more drama last month.
Oh, okay, there you go. Well, that is a little bit different. Yeah, not as much drama this time out. Maybe. Who knows? If Cena had an over-the-top entrance, it might have given you more drama.
No, it just, you didn't feel, I just, you know, I was like, there was always no doubt Cena was winning. It just, you put a little bit more doubt in this match. That's basically my point.
But nobody's ever broken the accolade before John Cena, you know that, right?
Oh, I know.
I know. Bullshit!
You know. Well, the accolade, as it's called. You know.
That's what it said, the accolade.
Yeah.
You call it the accolade.
Yeah, so we should then skip over the best segment of the night since Tim didn't see.
Well, I'm going to let you guys talk about this, and I'm going to listen as a fan because my goddamn computer decided to lock up right at this moment. And I'm like, okay, I got Ronda Rousey, and then boom, you bastard.
All right, so here's what happened. Hunter and Steph were in the ring. I was on Twitter, and I was like, there's pictures of Hunter and Steph in the ring. I was like, why are Hunter and Steph in the ring? So we come back with Hunter and Steph in the ring, and she announces that at WrestleMania there were 76,976 people. Pretty good attendance. And then started bragging about herself and how, you know, there wouldn't be WWE, would be nothing without her, and the crowd booed. It's tremendous. Stephanie was on point in this one. And Triple H basically says he's owned everybody, basically. He's beating everyone. He beat the fans. He beat everybody. And then out came The Rock. Talked about how you don't own him or us. And then we had a stare down between The Rock and Triple H. Triple H remembers kicking The Rock's ass throughout their feud. There are questions of whether Triple H left his balls in Stamford. Stephanie says there would be no Rock without the McMahons, and then she talks about her father, you know, Dwayne's father, High Chief P. Maivia, or grandfather, then his father, you know, Vince Sr., Vince Jr., or her. And then Stephanie lays in the big old slap to the Rock.
You forgot about Rocky Johnson and...
I said Peter Ryan. I said his father. I didn't say Rocky Johnson. His father, Rocky Johnson.
Okay. Dwayne Johnson.
No. Let's say you wouldn't be here without your old man's Johnson.
Yeah, that too.
Without Vince's Johnson.
Yeah. Stephanie tells The Rock to leave. Rock, okay, he obliges. He starts walking around the ring. Walks around
no,
the
no,
ring.
No. Steph tells him you wouldn't hit a woman.
That too.
That's where you done fucked up.
Yeah. So, he's walking around the ring, you know, keeps telling him, get out. Walks around the ring, and sees, wait a second, I know someone in that crowd. Ronda Rousey. And the place exploded when they knew who he was looking at. They were chanting, Ronda. And she gets in the ring with The Rock.
Ronda's gonna kill you.
Yeah, they were chanting it, alright. He said, I would never hit a woman. You know, since it's PG now. But he's a good friend who would. And Steph talks about how her and Ronda are friends, and, well, Stephanie calls Ronda the most dangerous woman. You know, and she would never mess with her in an octagon. But this is the squared circle, and tells Ronda to get out of her ring. And Ronda said, any ring I step in is mine. If you want me to leave,
snap.
If you want me to leave, make me.
That was your oh snap moment of the night.
And then she gave her.
Oh no, she didn't.
And then she gave her this look, and The Rock explained the look as, if you keep running your mouth, she's gonna reach down, pull out your fallopian tubes, and play jump rope.
and at that point, the look on Stephanie's face was, I done fucked up.
So the Rock and Triple H go at it, and then Ronda takes down Hunter, and then Ronda locks in an arm thing on Steph if she went to slap her, and look on Steph's face like, ow, get me out of here now, get me out of here.
Oh, she dropped to get out of the ring as pretty much as soon as Ronda locked on that arm lock, and I can tell you now, that thing hurts like a motherfucker.
I'm going to give Stephanie McMahon all the props in the world. She played a great heel. She took it from Ronda. Bravo. This was awesome.
Yeah. This was your WrestleMania highlight. Like, this thing has... I'm currently looking at its hit. The Australian news website's here. I've seen it on fucking Kotaku, of all places. Basically, Ronda Rousey and The Rock showing up and doing their shit at WrestleMania is all over the place right now.
If I wasn't watching the network, I would have SportsCenter on, and I bet it was on SportsCenter.
Oh, yeah. And it was even funnier because on Twitter, somebody not long after showed a picture of Dana White watching the WrestleMania stream with Ronda Rousey dead center on the computer, and he's on his phone.
Texting his BlackBerry or whatever it was.
And you know,
yeah, probably going for a lawyer at this stage.
No, I actually saw that on Twitter, so I replied to it. Texting your lawyers right now, Dana?
You know what? Probably not.
Oh, God, no. He knows that's good for business.
There's a lot of things good for business right now with the way they actually put over the UFC. Yeah, good for business. Or best for business, as it were. What'd you think, Omega?
It was a fun spot. Okay, you give The Rock a mic at WrestleMania, I'm going to hear good things. And then you bring Ronda Rousey into the ring.
The baddest woman in the world right now.
And she looked good tonight.
She's a Dragon Ball Z fan.
I love that.
Damn.
Oh my God, Vegeta is at WrestleMania.
Say it, Mace.
I didn't say none.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
I was happy to see her there. Like, the fact that they showed her early in the night, too.
Yeah.
Like that slight foreshadowing without actually saying anything. I'm like, oh, Ronda Rousey's at WrestleMania. Awesome, because there's always celebrities at WrestleMania. Then she gets into the ring. And then she verbally slaps Stephanie down. Then she physically pretty much slaps Stephanie down and Hunter.
The best was him.
Even though The Rock was there, I'm laughing my ass off.
Because this wasn't about The Rock.
No. It was about Stephanie and it was about Rousey.
WrestleMania next year?
I'm thinking SummerSlam this year.
No.
No, you save that one for Mania.
You can't, I'm going to explain to you why you can't do it. SummerSlam, Ronda has a fight in August.
Oh, okay, so no, yeah, you're right, you can't do that.
Just throwing that one out there.
But damn.
Give us Steph versus Ronda for 5 minutes at WrestleMania 32. Book it.
Well, what about a tag team match?
The Rock.
Would you accept a tag team match?
I would.
I could also accept a tag team match even though The Rock's involved.
Intergender. Yeah, just to protect Stephanie.
Yeah.
Fucking agenda. The Rock can just stay on the apron and have and Ronda can take on both of them.
Probably.
But it was one of those moments like, that happened.
It was holy shit that happened.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, I had friends of mine on Twitter tweeting going, I wish I wasn't at work right now. I wish I was at home watching WrestleMania. I'm like, and, you dumb fucks, yeah. why aren't you?
So,
and I got my stream working again just as I'm watching Steph walk away from the ring with Hunter. And she's shaking her left arm, and I'm like, what did Ronda do? Fuck!
So I just flipped over to my TV back to regular television for a minute, and 1, 2, 3, 4 things up on the SportsCenter tracker coming up, Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. So in the next 10 minutes, they're going to talk about it.
Oh, my usual news nightly news bulletin comes on in just under 2 hours. I can almost guarantee it's going to be on there in the sports part tonight. Like, this is how you get attention.
They did. They started it with Brock on Tuesday, ending it with Ronda. Pretty good week.
Well, actually, it continues tomorrow night, doesn't it? The winner of the main event is supposedly on one of the morning shows.
On the Today Show. That's fine, but I'm talking about sports media. Sports media, two back-to-back big things. They're covering.
Yeah, it's not often that sports media actually covers professional wrestling, but man, they've been into it this past week.
Right? This is what happens when you're on the West Coast in a media market. They're going to cut. You're able to be covered a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing that WrestleMania brings around because that does kind of go beyond the stigma of, well, it's a fake sport.
Right, and for anyone who tuned in, they're like, this was high energy show, high impact, big moments.
Speaking of big moments.
Yeah, let's get to it. Next matchup on the show, Tim.
Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. Out comes Bray. What the hell did he come out with?
Scarecrows.
Zombie scarecrows.
Zombie scarecrows.
Bionic zombie scarecrows.
No, fucking not by, yeah, they were real people, but anyway.
Somebody's been playing too much Resident Evil.
that entrance, I actually dig that entrance. It was missing one thing.
What's that?
When Bray extinguished the lantern, they all should have fallen to the ground.
That would have worked.
That would have been kind of neat.
But it was a pretty cool entrance. They couldn't, because of the lighting issue.
Yeah.
They worked around it with the skeleton. Not skeletons, the scarecrows. Really well done for what they could accomplish.
The entrance just would have been so much cooler. You go from Bray's fireflies to the creatures of the night.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay. Just to switch topics slightly, the numbers have just come through for Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay.
Supposedly the extravagant, according to the article I'm looking at, the show grossed $12.6 million. Now, I'm not sure if that's the gate.
Yeah, gate.
That's the gate.
Yeah.
Just the gate.
Jeez, us.
That's WrestleMania for you.
$12.6 million, and that's just the gate. That's not including network buys or pay-per-view buys.
Which, by the way, tomorrow we will know how many network subscribers because they're holding conference call first thing in the morning.
God damn.
Shit, better cancel my network.
So, yeah.
The 12.6 million on the gate. Jesus.
That's a lot just on the gate. That's incredible.
And that doesn't include access and everything else they've done.
Everything for the past week since, well, last Monday.
Yeah, that's just tonight.
That's tonight. Tonight. It's pretty good.
That's impressive.
It's WrestleMania.
With a, yeah, spelled with a dollar symbol.
So, that's next year's set.
Yeah. Because Jerry Jones will be building it.
There you go.
So,
good match.
We have the Scarecrow Surprise. He does his entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big
question. Where are you?
Where are you, Undertaker? Where are you, Undertaker?
Where are you? Come and get me.
And the
it's my time now.
And as me and Lindsay were talking, it's like they stalled so much to get as much darkness as they could. As the Undertaker finally showed up.
Yeah, they even killed the house lights that they started using
after
the Steph Hunter and Rousey bit.
It didn't really help that much.
No, but
it was enough. It was, you know, by the time they got around to the Undertaker's part of the entrance, it was enough.
Yeah,
they waited as long as they could.
Yeah, and by the way, like I know we're about to talk the Undertaker's entrance, but one thing I love about Bray and his character is he is so vocal, like openly vocal. Instead of just coming out and just warming up or something, he's pacing back and forth. He's screaming at the Undertaker, you know, come and get me. Where are you? That's like, that is some mad energy to bring to such a match.
It is, really. And stuff like that will get the crowd into it even before it starts.
Yeah, it's building the hype, but at the same time, you just don't see guys these days get that vocal.
He connects with it's one thing that he does better than a lot of people. He connects with the crowd.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's a lost art, and thank God for him being able to do it.
Right, and to give Tim the little, you know, thing, like before they talked about Ronda Rousey, they talked about the flames scorching the Predators. Just so Tim could be happy about
they
that.
They mentioned hockey at WrestleMania?
Right before the WrestleMania hockey, the highlights.
Really?
Oh, I wasn't paying
attention. You're talking about on your SportsCenter.
On SportsCenter, they did the Flames. And
yeah, the Flames won 5-2, and we're back in third seed in the Pacific Conference. Just a couple of points at a home ice advantage for the playoffs.
Yeah,
so.
Didn't need all that. So
we got a couple of Flames fans listening, so shut right. up.
Hold on. They just showed the Rousey bit.
Yeah.
They show Brock Lesnar, and they show the ending of what happened. We're not talking about it right this second, but they show the ending.
They showed it on SportsCenter?
It's shown on SportsCenter.
Oh, shit. They shouldn't do that.
No, they were given permission to do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
The guy's doing play-by-play of the ending, and it says what happened on an all-call graphic, and they just, to end the highlight, they said, awesome. There you go. That's good publicity for WWE right there. It's taking serious right now. It's not a joke. There
Sweet.
You go. Anyway, back to the match.
Yeah, Undertaker comes out, and we didn't get any minions of the Dark Side or anything like that.
No, he was...
I for the most part, I think that's really all they should have done. Because there's no Undertaker entrance you could do in the light that would have looked good, except for the one he already did, and
we don't have
anyone dressed in togas to sell that.
No.
Yeah, but at the same time, the fact that they kept the Undertaker off TV the entire build is enough to get people excited for his entrance at WrestleMania.
When
was the fact that he's there.
And then when he finally came around and the entire crowd saw him, boom. Like,
and he has hair.
That fucking mohawk's gone.
Thank fuck for that.
Yeah. I agree. I will agree with that one.
Everyone's very happy he has hair.
And, of course, he must have cornered the market in Grecian formula over the last month.
dude looked jacked.
He worked out a little bit. He was in the best shape I've seen him in since Hunter.
He was in way better shape than last year, that's for damn sure.
Oh, well, yeah.
Last couple.
He has not looked that good since, in my opinion, the first one with Shawn Michaels. The first of two.
Okay, somebody find the man, get an interview. I think he might be using DDP yoga.
You know, I would not be surprised.
Speaking of, God bless you, DDP, because Scott Hall took a back bump tonight. And before the
program, yeah.
I wouldn't even expect him to make it down the ramp.
Especially with Scott's hip replacement and everything, the fact that he was able to take a back bump tonight just.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, big credit to DDP for that.
Yeah. DDP, hey, you know his fingerprints are all over the show. Oh well.
The one thing you did notice, and this is where it's like with the Undertaker. It's going to be a real stretch for next year. You got to get the right opponent next year.
What?
He's running low on him.
He's taking a step back or two.
He didn't do
much tonight.
He hit everything he had to hit.
He did his moves.
You know,
at this point in time, he doesn't need to do anything else.
Well, short of the last ride, he hit all the signature stuff, and it makes the crowd happy.
Right, I mean, he did his still, spots.
Yeah, he still performed like The Undertaker. You know, I think we're just, like, so spoiled because Taker for years was like, you know he's
you're
going to have one of the best... No, you know, watching an Undertaker match at WrestleMania, you know you're going to get one of the best matches of the night. I mean, Shawn, you know, his matches with Shawn, Triple H, and even Punk.
Yeah.
Outstanding performances.
But at this point in time, with Undertaker, give me old school, give me Tombstone, and give me sitting up off the canvas after being knocked down. And
oh, good Lord.
I've got the best spot.
I got the spot I've been hoping for 6 months.
The spider walk and the sit-up.
Tell everybody right now what we're talking about.
Okay, so both men are down after a choke.
Because it was epic.
All right, so Bray goes for Sister Abigail. Mox Taker leads to a chokeslam. Tombstone, two count. Tombstone, no. Sister Abigail, two count. Both men are down. Spider sit-up. He does start walking towards the Undertaker. The Undertaker sits up. And then you have the look between the two.
Where he sits up and his head swivels to the left and he just stares him down.
The cameraman on this one couldn't have been more perfect.
I've been
because you just need to make sure that Bray's face was in frame. He does a little spider walk over. Then the Undertaker sits up. The eyes start to bug. Taker's turns, looks, and the just stunned look on Bray's face, and then he drops.
Literally just melts right onto the canvas.
Yeah, he melts onto the canvas, rolls over, the jaw drops to the canvas.
It's like, holy crap.
It was such a good spot.
And it's like, so this is what other people feel like when I do this upside down fucking crab walk. Okay.
Because no, it's not even that. I mean, it's storytelling. Like, all this time, Bray is talking such a big game. I'm the new face of fear and all this. But that moment... You see realization that he doesn't even know what fear is until that moment.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, oh,
it was so well done.
And it just realizes on him, how do I defeat that can scare the Eater of Worlds?
Yeah. It's just, oh, fuck. Yeah, that was just, you were right about the cameraman. The camera placement was absolutely, couldn't have been more perfect.
Right. This was the moment when, like, months ago, I was like, I need to see this happen. It's a moment that you'll never forget because it's like, spider walk, sit up, it's going to be epic. And it was it was better than I ever thought it would be, which was what you wanted out of this.
Yeah, I'm sitting there, like, I saw it coming, and I'm like, the two going down, I'm like, okay, Bray, spider up, here's the spider. And then I see him moving, I'm like, okay, two more steps. Stop. Take up.
There it was.
And I'm
spent. Q.
We then,
it was just, and oh, that
boom
was,
goes
oh.
dynamite.
It was perfect.
That was a server moment. It really was. It was another one in a night of server moments. Yeah. It was really good.
Bray then went for Sister Abigail's kiss. Goes for the Sister Abigail. Taker escapes. Tombstone. 1, 2, 3. Dead man wins.
22-2. Or, and 1.
22-1.
Wait a minute.
22-1 or 1-0 version 2.0.
Or yeah, just there you go.
Or just another win.
The streak starts again.
Please, no more 22. No more.
Oh, shit. Yeah, no, the match was entertaining. The high, you know, definitely the high point was the stare down. But.
Now, when it comes to Bray, I want to see how they follow up on him.
They could go so many different ways with this, but the loss, don't anybody come to me and say, oh, well, you just buried Bray Wyatt because you made him lose to Undertaker. Fuck off. He did not.
Not buried. That's why I said I want to see how they follow up.
Yeah.
I hope they have a plan, not let him just hang around, actually have a plan for his next move.
But, yeah, I don't see this hurting Bray Wyatt at all. I'm sure that they'll come up.
No.
Oh, a win would have helped.
Oh, you know, a win would have helped. At this point in time, there comes to a certain point in time whether a superstar wins or loses is not the point. It's the match itself and the story you tell in the ring.
This match
between the two of them, they were at that point.
I feel like I really did want Bray to win because I wanted it to be a passing of the torch. I wanted to see, like, the Undertaker give that to Bray. Bray is now, like, you know, the new, like, force of intimidation in the WWE.
New face.
The
of
new
face.
Prince of Darkness.
The new face of fear, like he's
the
been
new
saying.
Face of fear. I was trying to avoid using it, but okay, we'll go with that.
Let's go with
it. Why avoid it?
But, embrace. Story-wise, Bray knows what fear is now. And he could grow so far from that.
Oh, this could go,
like,
this could
it could be just like what we've seen out of Bray so far could just be tip of the iceberg now.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Because you need that in the WWE.
Oh yeah.
Now, with the match, the way the match was, tip of the hat to Bray Wyatt for working it with a pretty sprained ankle.
Yeah, you saw a couple of times. His ankle almost gave out a couple of times because apparently earlier.
Yeah, there's one time he was trying to get back into the ring where you could really, from after a spot, you could really tell, like, it was giving him problems.
Yeah, earlier in the day he sprained his ankle practicing for the show and warming up or whatever in the ring and turned his ankle. And he got it through this match, which all credit to him.
Yeah, huge props. Because you saw it a few times, but for the most part, when the moves and the match was going on, he didn't miss a beat.
No, and you know in the back of his mind, because this is a match he's wanted for years and years and years, like, damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Damn it, I got hurt the day off.
Oh, you know, like, this is the match for him, for his character. This is a match that has to happen, and, you know, at WrestleMania of all places. You know, he could have torn his ankle off the bone completely.
He was getting to that ring.
He was still going to work that match.
He was going to borrow the crutches from Butch.
Oh, God.
Only if Butch.
By the way, last night, Butch, oh, my God, fucking awesome.
Great Hall of Fame. Great Hall of Fame speeches.
That was a good speech with the two of them up there. It really was.
All right, main event.
Finally, it feels like it's been another 6 hours.
We're 2.5 hours into this thing. The main event. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and right off the bat, boos for Roman Reigns.
Lots of boos
tank.
For Roman.
Who came out of the tank.
Hundreds were killed.
Hundreds were killed. Only a few survived.
And Mace is rolling his eyes thinking, fuck off, you guys.
It really is.
I'm rolling with the joke at this point. I don't give a shit.
Oh, okay.
It really is like the Roman Empire.
You know, before we actually start talking about this match, I wanted to bring this up, and more or less for Mace with the Taker Wyatt match. At points of the match, it looked like Bray was making the calls in this one, not Taker.
It was 50-50, but then again, you also got to remember that the heel always calls.
Yeah.
So, you know, typical wrestling there. But anyway, let's get on to this main event, and Roman Reigns is booed heavily, as it should be.
And they found
the conquering Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, they come out right away, they fight right away, and 30 seconds in, F5.
Wait, hold on. Let's get to the good bit early. Lillian goes to announce Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, there's that too.
Oh my god.
And ladies and gentlemen.
Her expression was like, what the fuck?
Paul, I had one match to introduce. He's like, you've taken this away from me?
Oh, you didn't.
Right? But anyway, into the match, F5 right away, 30 seconds in. And we notice he doesn't go for the cover, but Brock's bleeding.
God, I was screaming for Brock to go for the cover that early in, just so the fans would be so salty to get a 30-second main event.
It would be like a Ronda Rousey main event.
That's exactly why, because Ronda Rousey did his ass.
Right. So Brock's bleeding because Roman punched him pretty good. You could see he was swelling up throughout the match. Roman threw some shots at one point. Brock was no-selling it, hit a German, and then said the line of the night, Suplex City, bitch.
And the best thing was, the crowd was counting along to every suplex, and Heyman, God bless him, at ringside, every time another suplex, the fingers went up to add one.
One point, Brock was just kneeing the crap out of Roman in the ropes. Roman came back with shots of his own. Go ahead.
Okay, I will say this. I reckon these guys must have had one hell of an agreement backstage, because this was stiffer than a fucking strong style match.
You know,
this remark,
there were potatoes being thrown all over the joint.
This remark,
well, I got the impression, Mace. I typed it out to you in chat that I got the feeling that Brock. Ahead of time, probably told Raymond, you know, go ahead, don't hold back, give me what you got.
Who's Raymond?
Roman Reigns.
Oh my god.
It's light.
Roman Reigns coming in on a tank.
It's a long fucking day
to face the 500 pound Undertaker.
No, this definitely was probably one of those matches where they agreed backstage, let's not hold anything back. I'm going to throw punches that are meant to knock your head off.
It's
like, right back at you, dude. Let's just go out there and beat the shit out of each other. Leave it all in the ring. I'll see you back here for a beer.
Right. It reminded me of the first Cena Lesnar match when Brock first came back with the aggression. Where they just teared into one another.
And Brock just go halfway through the match going, fuck the gloves.
Yeah, alright.
Slap!
Yeah, first there was a second F5 for a two count. He starts pulling up the gloves. Bitch slap after bitch slap after bitch slap to Roman Reigns.
Oh, they slowed it down in slow motion on the replay, and the sound went with it. Oh!
Right?
That sounded painful as fuck.
Whack!
Yeah, it really, really...
And Roman was laughing!
Right?
Yeah, what was up with that?
No, that was great for him. It was like Brock Lesnar's throwing his best at me. Fuck him.
That's fucking
awesome. No, I understand.
Let's
the
do it more. This is your Tommy Dreamer, please, sir, can I have another?
Yep.
Roman was earning his stripes tonight.
It's like, I'm taking your best and I'm still, you know, up breathing, so bring it on.
Keep going. And he gave him, what, another 10 suplexes or something? A third F5 where he kicked out.
And then at that point, it was Reigns coming back with the 3 Superman punches in a row?
Yeah, it was... 2 in a row.
Yeah.
2 in a row. goes for the third. Brock ducked the third, got him up. He hit the Superman punch. Spear, spear, two count. We then had an F5. And then a cash in.
You can always tell when Rock is about to set something up like this.
There's a lot of that match getting abbreviated, but
yeah,
like Brock getting split like a melon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The Superman, like, to roll back in time before the cash in, like that series of Superman punches and spears, you could see it in Brock. In his movements and the look on his face, it was pretty much "fuck your punches, nigga." Fuck your punches.
Wow.
Sorry, I've been hanging around Bowman tonight. It rubs off, trust me.
All due respect, and no offense intended to anybody out there who might be...
No, remember, I say it with an A, not an ER, so it's...
There you go, then you can get away with it, yeah.
Well, that's how they booked him through the whole match, because he's laying punches, clotheslines, he could not knock Brock down. And it took three Superman punches before Lesnar went to the ground.
Yeah, and even then, when he was hitting the Superman punches, Brock went straight to the ropes.
Yep.
So there was no room to follow up.
That's the fighter instinct, stays to the ropes.
And that's what this whole thing was. This felt like a UFC fight, not a wrestling match. This was a UFC fight.
Because Brock,
yeah,
the fighter.
Definitely, in more than just bits and stages. It really did have that feeling to it, for sure.
So, back to the point. Seth Rollins comes in. We have a triple threat match now as Seth Rollins cashes in.
Yeah, this sort of
until the finish, I didn't see why he did it in the middle of the match.
Yeah.
And like, then it was brilliant.
It was.
This was the first time, in my recollection anyway, that you had the guy cash in during the match.
First time ever, yeah. Everything's been
I didn't
after.
Even know you could do that.
Yeah, same here.
Like, for a second I was thinking, does Roman have to go sit down now while Seth and Lesnar have a match?
No, it's a triple threat. You know, there are no rules saying that it couldn't, so why the hell not?
Well, because it's for a one-on-one match. You never cash it in during a match.
Who said it's for a one-on-one match?
Actually, if you do go way back to the to the initial Money in the Bank, it was stipulation for a title shot, which technically got told, which was at one point described as the one-on-one championship match. At any point during the time the contract is held. Over time, it has just become he is able to have a title match at any time. There's no longer any stipulation of it's for a match.
He can cash in at any time.
Yes.
Yeah, and typically, especially when a heel's holding that briefcase, you expect them to do it after a match when the victim is at their most exhausted point.
Okay.
Which, to be honest, both men were at this point in time.
Yeah.
Well, three Superman punches, two spears, at least three F5s.
Yeah. Now, you guys, bringing this up here, how pissed off would you be if tomorrow night somebody decides, well, you know, like it was the middle of the match, it doesn't count? How
That's
pissed
off? No.
It was called. It's official.
Yeah. There was, and the thing is, as I was just describing, there is no stipulation upon it that says that a match has, like, there doesn't have to be a match going on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this again, like, this entire thing makes Seth look like a fucking genius.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and the authority has the heavyweight title.
Well, just aside from looking genius, from a booking standpoint, because Brock didn't get pinned, and you didn't have to give it to you. So you didn't have to give it to Reigns, who clearly wasn't ready.
Rock, finish your description, because I know we cut you off before you actually got the description as Seth cashes it in.
He cashes in. We have a curb stomp to Brock Lesnar. Goes for another one. Lesnar gets up. Has him up for the F5. Roman comes in. Spear. Curb stomp to Roman. 1, 2, 3. Your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Seth Rollins.
Now, that was an absolutely brilliant piece of booking. Like, as we're saying, you know, Brock hasn't lost the belt, so he loses nothing in the terms of, you know, who can defeat Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar hasn't been defeated. And Paul Heyman will spruik that something shocking tomorrow night, and you know it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
While Roman got pinned, he took it to Brock Lesnar as his best. As they like to say, Roman looks strong. And then you have Seth Rollins looking like a goddamn genius, cashing it in when he did the way he did.
Everyone left this match strong.
Oh, yeah. It was the best thing I could have done in what a no-win scenario, because either you still have the main belt of the entire company on a part-timer, or you have it on someone who the audience is giving no good reactions to.
And this gives you the outs of you've got Lesnar who can say I was never beaten for the belt. I want my fucking rematch. But you also have Roman Reigns who can now chase Seth Rollins for the next few months while they try and rebuild him to be ready for the belt.
But here's the thing. You've also opened it up because Randy Orton is in the picture. Right now, it may be the fringes, but he's still in the picture.
Yeah, that's plan C. I beat Rollins earlier in the night, so you know what? Technically, that makes me number one contender.
And
it's... it is such a good spot because whenever someone, a heel especially, cashes in to win the title with Money in the Bank, they instantly have that bullseye because they didn't win a fair match. They didn't win a full match to get it. Yeah, they stole it. So now...
Well, this is the first time they've done something like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's three people who are going to be gunning for that belt within the next 24 hours.
And to back up the title shot thing, Orton said on WrestleMania Today he never got his rematch from last year when he lost the belt.
Yeah, this is now my favorite cash in for Money in the Bank.
And this tops out
Edge doing it during New Year's Revolution. I think it was like really early on in the thing where
the first one,
the Elimination Chamber, where Cena had just won the match.
Right, and it was that was an odd one where Carlito and Chris Masters were in, and Cena were the last three.
Yeah, that was a weird match. But the thing is, you could see it on Cena's face from his entrance that he wasn't walking out with that belt. But still, you know, Edge coming out with McMahon going, "Cash it in, cash it in, cash it in." That was exciting as fuck, and tonight just blew it out of the water for me.
It was exciting. It was different because, again,
it was innovative. It was something new.
Yeah, and it's something you wouldn't have called, or at least expected.
I expected the cash in. I just didn't expect it in this way.
Yeah, I called for the cash in. I mean, I speculated on it last week. I talked to Rock and various other people during the week. I expected it post-match. I expected Roman to have the title and barely be alive, and then Seth comes out with the curb stomp and takes the title. That's what I expected.
And honestly, the scenario I had was, you know, Reigns barely beats Lesnar, we get the cash in, and then classic WWE overbooking, a la Daniel Bryan last year, Reigns beats Rollins too, trying to push him to get over as hard as they could. And if Lesnar signed with UFC earlier this week, I'd still say that's what would have happened.
It was still the finish.
And yet the final thing we got to see was Seth Rollins with both hands swinging that belt around his head, trying to be a helicopter. And you could tell he was really having an effort to swing that belt over his head, too.
Yeah. And now let's think about the last 6 months in WWE. Who's been the MVP? Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Rollins earned his stripes.
If you go back to the triple threat in January, he was amazing in that match.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he came out of WrestleMania the champion.
And it works. Like out of the Shield, he's got the wrestling ability and he's got the mic ability. He's got the character to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it works.
And now looking at your championship landscape,
wide open.
Three really good champions.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan, John Cena, and now Seth Rollins.
You got three people who can give credibility to each belt.
See, at this point, well, not even this point, like, even last month, I'm sitting here going, I give this to Mania. If they can't pull out something spectacular at Mania that sets up storylines of plenty and really makes me want to see something down the line, I walk away from watching wrestling. Tonight, they've hooked me in.
They make you want to watch it again.
Yeah.
And the best.
I'm excited for the next few months.
Oh,
like, there's a plethora of stories coming out of this. We have really good top tier guys as champions. Mm-hmm. And you can see from now, you can see a really good road from here to possibly SummerSlam. For the world title in itself.
At least SummerSlam.
And
if not further.
And the best part...
Kane Kitten's in the chat room. Seth, just don't take any selfies with the belt. Just saying.
Yeah. And apparently everyone was jumping on his ex-girlfriend, current girlfriend, because she...
It's even been, like, all over fucking Facebook. It's like, take dick pic, win title.
The point I'm trying to make is, what's interesting about tomorrow... Everyone's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is... like usually the Raw after WrestleMania is still always a great big affair. Tonight, just up the hype by shit tons.
Because Brock's going to be there. Sting is going to be there. The Dead Man, The Undertaker, is going to be on Raw too. That is going to be interesting.
And here's the thing. Imagine... the booze we possibly could have had tomorrow night if Roman Reigns went over.
They saved Roman.
Yeah, they've saved Roman. But at the same time, can you imagine the booze that are going to happen tomorrow night when the first thing you hear on Raw is Seth Rollins' music? Oh, people are going to be salty and it's going to be glorious.
But it's a different type of salty than it would have been with Reigns.
I'm not even sure how salty it's going to be, because he is one of the top heels, and he's good at keeping his heel heat, but honestly, it's a best-case scenario. I think people are going to, especially because it is the post-WrestleMania crowd, I think you're going to get a lot better reaction for him than you thought, just because it's, thank God, not Reigns.
Yeah, that's very possible now that I think about it, but still... The reaction tomorrow night, good or bad, is going to be fucking good. Like, I'm excited for tomorrow night.
Good or bad, it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's like, hurry up tomorrow night, get here, we want to watch Raw now.
Pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm going to go to sleep now so I can get up in time for Raw tomorrow.
There you go, yeah. So that's WrestleMania 31. That's the actual outcome. We've actually got a simulated outcome. Taking place all this week with Mace playing WWE 2K15 WrestleMania on Twitch.
Yes, I did. I playing WWE 2K15 simulating matches where I was able to. Obviously, the IC ladder match was a bit of a pain in the butt because you're limited to six people. I couldn't do the Battle Royal properly because I would have to do the Royal Rumble at 30 people, not I think it was about 20-odd or something that they had there tonight.
I think we all...
Tag team turmoil...
Go ahead.
The tag team turmoil I couldn't do because they don't allow, you know, four team tag matches.
Yeah.
You got to remember, Rock, I'm running the PS4 version, which is still very fucking limited.
No, I was just going to say that you could have tried to do other ways to get the ladder match, but what was weird is they don't even let you put the title up in the ladder match.
You had the Money in the Cave briefcase.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Just very weird.
That was kind of weird.
Now,
So the results of the simulation... it picked 4 out of 9 winners.
Not bad.
It got Orton, it got Cena, AJ and Paige, and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody lost if you picked Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar. So...
everybody lost. on the picture, everyone lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
But out of 9 matches...
Out of 9 matches, I got 4 correct.
Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all.
Pretty good for a video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a video game, it's almost batting, you know, halfway. So
that's almost
not bad. Halfway.
Not bad.
Yeah. So now the WTR Pick'em, Mace. Congratulations, you and Chris Pierce went 6-3.
Yeah.
Brent, myself, Lindsay, Rock, Starscream, Derek Biddle, Ollie D, and 6 Degrees of Sando, along with Brightwashed. No, I'm sorry, Brightwashed didn't. No, 6 Degrees of Sando. We all went 5-4.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Bullet Club? Not the Bullet Club. The Brass Ring Club shirts. They were done by 6 Degrees of Sando. Go look her up on Redbubble and stuff. You can buy her those shirts. And Kinkins, it's Bray Wash. There's no T in there.
There's no T. It's just Bray Wash. Got 4 out of 5 and had Axel as first out. Omega, you were 4-5 along with Magic 8-Ball, Michael P, Obey Don't Stray, WWE 2K15, all 4-5.
So let's look at that. The Magic 8-Ball and the video game got it the same way.
Like, literally,
Did they pick the same matches, though?
Wait a minute. Was that, like, a real Magic 8-Ball, or just somebody calling himself
Magic 8-Ball? No, that's the Magic 8-Ball. I used the Magic 8-Ball.
That was, like, the actual real Magic 8-Ball. Got the same thing as the video game.
Well, the online version of it. But, yeah, that's what we did. We do it on the show on Thursday on the Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Go listen to the show. We play against the Magic 8-Ball. So, video game.
Screw up, Josh.
The Magic 8-Ball and the video game both went 4-5.
She's a girl at 500 with 4-4. She missed one. What Brianne was 3-5. Our buddy Nick Diddy, who doesn't seem to be in the chat room tonight, 2-7 with Rock, Paper, Scissor, Kick.
All right. Let's see. The Magic 8-Ball had Cesaro and Kid. Game had Usos. Magic 8-Ball had Rollins. You had Orton. AJ and Paige the same. Triple H was the Magic 8-Ball. Sting for the video game. Wyatt, Taker, so video game had that one right. Mizdow and Sheamus, Ambrose, R-Truth, Cena, Lesnar.
God damn.
So they split on a few, but they had a couple of the same. So
you can sim or use Magic 8-Ball, and you wind up with the same outcome.
It's just amazing how that sort of turned out. Technology.
I might start doing that a bit more often just to see how it goes.
I'm sure you had a good time first time around, so yeah, do it again. Why not, right?
Overall, this was entertaining as hell show.
You know what? Mace said it, and I couldn't say it any better. It opened up some real great potential storylines, and I'm champing at the bit for Raw tomorrow night to see what goes down. It's been a long time since something has made me feel the way I'm feeling for an episode of Monday Night Raw. Tonight did that. It was great. That brings us to the end of the program, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We got on for just about 3 hours here.
That's why
almost as long as Raw. Yeah. Normally, quick hits and the all-time greatest. We'll get back to that next week. Don't forget, tomorrow immediately following Raw, it's the Raw post show right here on the Law Talk Radio Network, usually about 11:10 Eastern.
11:10 p.m. Eastern, we'll recap all the fallout from what will probably be in a very exciting Monday Night Raw, to myself and Lindsay, as we recap it all.
Yeah, and of course, Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rack.
If you're first-time listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network, you heard it, you know, bumpers with Kane and Seth Rollins throughout the night. They've been a part of The Rack, so you never know.
As well as Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels, Jim Ross.
The Miz.
The Miz, to name a few. So check out The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover WrestleMania. We'll talk NXT, a little bit of SmackDown. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, at WTR, @_Rack, facebook.com/WTRack. Check out the website, to hear all those interviews, rackradioshow.com, or you can go to youtube.com/WTRTheRack.
There you go. And, of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as we get to it, another edition of Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
It's CB Radio. It's weird news. It's wacky. It's unusual. We play some games. It's a lot of fun. It's CB Radio. We use the hashtag Blame Rob whenever there's a celebrity death. Because, you know, we try to lay in the mood when it comes to that sort of thing. You can follow the show on Twitter at CBRadioWTR, facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. You can check out the website, CBRadioLive.com.
And, of course, next Sunday night, back to our regular time, 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll take a look at the fallout from the week following WrestleMania. Plus, our staples will return, Win Fail, All-Time Greatest, and, of course, Quick Hits.
It's Easter next week.
Oh, next week is Easter, so wait a minute.
Are we? It's up to you guys.
Well, we'll talk
about it.
We'll discuss
maybe,
it later.
Maybe not. We'll see.
Stay tuned.
You know this week.
Stay tuned to twitter.com/wildtalkradio or facebook.com/wildtalkradio.network.
Yeah, I forgot all about that. You can follow me at Flames Forum. Speaking of which, Kiwi Flames Rook, still listening. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Forums. Get it right. Get your Twitter right. Forums.
Well, yeah. I'll get my Twitter. Anyway, all you new people who showed up tonight and are still tuned in, hope that we entertained you enough that you feel like coming back and interacting with us on the Twitter machines or Facebook or even email us, admin@wildtalkradio.com, media@wildtalkradio.com. Wild Talk Radio is the handle on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @FlamesForums with an S. Follow Wild Talk Radio Network at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Also, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes.
Yeah, and of course, Mace is on the Twitter machines.
Yes, as quickly as I can possibly do it. And I slow right down. You can follow me on the Twitter machines at the Mace Thing, TheMaceThing. See, I can spell it out. If you also want some video game related stuff, head on over to youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where I review games and do other sort of things as well. If you haven't already, due to the 2015 video game stuff, I'm back doing stuff on Twitch. twitch.tv/TheMaceThing2. That's the number 2 at the end of it. If you haven't already, go over there, follow that, because I'm going to be starting to do more streams, because my ISP decided almost like 2.5 times my download limit, so I can do a lot more shit now.
Yay!
Woo! I just hope the speed can fix itself up. It's bloody terrible tonight. Other than that, I'm sorry that we took so long, but, you know, 6-hour show, 3-hour recap. Eh.
It works, yeah. And, of course, Omega's got a bunch of shit going down.
I always have a bunch of shit going down. If you are the Facebook type, I am located at TJ Reviews. If you are the Twitter type, it is TJ Omega. It is also TJ Omega over on YouTube, where almost all of my stuff is. And for all the stuff I can't post there, it's over at TJOmega.org. And I am preparing for the busiest month I have ever given myself. April is probably going to see about 45 videos from me.
Wow. That even beats that one Christmas.
Well, Christmas is usually 31.
And as we end the show, we're at the moment where Ronda Rousey takes down Stephanie McMahon.
Damn, awesome. Well, that's it for us this week. Once again, everybody, stay tuned, and we'll let you know all over the place, social media and the website, if we're doing a WTR Sunday night next Sunday night. But come back and check out all the programming that we got throughout the week. Have yourselves a great week. Take care.
Wildtalkradio.com.